science. Ha, ha. Those wild and crazy scientific guys, I love them. Yeah, the old misfits.
What happened?
Teddy brought his car in for a tune-up.
He hit you.
Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Let me tell you a story about a little fat boy that nobody loved, and that all the other kids, they used to make fun of him. And they would pick on him. And then they used to say that he talks funny and stuff. And they had a twin brother. And everybody said that he didn't look anything like his twin brother. But he wanted to.
Egg. Were you the little fat boy?
No, but I used to like to beat him up. You know, I'd grab him and go, why are you so fat? Why are you so fat? And I'd beat the shit out of him.
Isn't that a great story?
Changed, would you mind pulling your bedroom drapes?
Why?
I think my son watches you.
Get out of here.
No. I think he watches you change.
Your son? I thought he was a zombie.
I wish. I like zombies.
Oh, yeah, you do. Me too, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like the early zombie movies, like Night of the Living Dead.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't watch that one alone.
I don't like the new ones.
No, zombies are too fast, you know?
Yeah, too fast, yeah.
Yeah. I believe, like Simon Pegg said, that death is an impediment, not an energy drink.
Who are you?
I'm a neighbor.
What do you want?
I just wanted to... What if I sing? You want me to sing?
I don't really care.
Okay. Oh, we all walk the wibberly-wobberly-walk. And we all talk the wibberly-wobberly-talk. Oh, we all wear wibberly-wobberly ties. And we look at all the pretty girls with wibberly-wobberly eyes. I made that up.
Hey. that created the...
Chatting like nobody's business.
Oh, there we go. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! I knew my mic was muted. Damn it. But hey, we're back. Hey, how's it going?
How do we do the show again?
I don't remember. Steven, how's it going? Steven the Pop Culture Zone.
Hey, long time.
I'm the J-Strom. I just asked you a question. I didn't introduce myself.
I'm good.
It's funny. I could hear myself on your mic. I was like, oh, shit, I'm muted. Oh, good times. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
Could you hear me and you knew my mic was muted, Bill?
Yeah.
I was like, damn it.
I knew it was muted because before the show... On the feed, I could hear Steven just eating.
That was so funny.
You were talking, but I could barely hear you. I was like, his mic's muted. I guess I should have said something.
That's so funny because I was playing music, but I could hear Steven too because he was eating Cheetos.
You just thought he was like throwing his voice. Like, it's loud.
So you being on the feed the whole time was just Steven eating?
Just Steven munching and swallowing. And...
That was so funny. God, I wish I had the other side of that recording.
There's like eight people listening to it. And I bet you're like, is this the show?
What the hell? Because I was playing music, just like...
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounded like.
That is so funny. Oh, man, I can't stop laughing. That's so funny.
I love the Cheetos.
Hey, no one Mulberry's
back. He sounded like he was enjoying himself.
Could you hear him going,
Yeah.
Licking his fingers.
So cheesy and delicious.
Awesome. It's like, oh, I got a sandwich, too. Oh, okay.
But it has a plate of steel in it.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, guys, we're back. We're back. And hey, we may not be perfect, but we come with a little bit of character, right? Huh? The last week, we did the book club show. Or was that 2 weeks ago?
That was last week.
That was last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did the book club show, but, you know, it's not doing the regular show. We're not doing a shitload of clips and stuff, so it feels like it's been longer since we've done the show. But I hope
we had a break the week before. Was it the week before and then we did the book show? Or
I can't remember.
It's been like 2 or 3 weeks since I've been here.
But I hope everyone enjoyed the Drawing of the Three show. It seems like a million years ago. And you know what was funny is I started reading The Wastelands, Bill. But I did before I edited and put the Drawing of the Three together. And it really is like I've moved on. And it's hard to go back and... show interest in, you know,
your world has moved on.
Yes, exactly. So what I need to do next time when we do The Wastelands is get the show out, then start reading the next book, because
there is quite a pretty big shift in not only tone, but it's different.
it's a way different, but I hope everyone liked that. I'm enjoying the hell out of this book, and I can't wait to talk about it.
I loved The Wastelands. I read it in one weekend, could not stop. I love it. Love it. It's my favorite book so far. In fact, I'm reading it again.
Sweet. Yeah, I love it. I'm definitely at a faster pace than I was on The Drawing of the Three. I'm past the halfway mark, at least.
Excellent.
But, yeah, can't wait to get into that, and I'm glad that we're back, and let's get to business, gentlemen. We got some film, television, pop culture to talk about, but first, we have some voicemail. Let's listen to Adam's voicemail, all right? Because I've had it for about 2 weeks. Let's check
it out.
It
only gets better with age.
That's right. It's aged like a fine wine. Let's check it out.
What's up, Nowhere in Mulberry? This is Adam. Hey, man, I'm just at work listening to episodes 37 and 38 of Mulberry Old School. 37 was hilarious.
It was a very weird show.
You had Bill calling in from a telephone pole running from the FBI because he was downloading porn on the internet. And then just to find out it was Scientology, the Scientologists that were after him.
We were so creative.
And then you had Vanessa send this CD over with this seductive voice, like, I've never heard her read the news that way, and she claimed that that's just her reading voice. But I'm pretty sure she'd been reading the news in all the other episodes and never sounded like that. Very strange, yeah, very weird.
He's found a hole in the plot there, didn't he?
So I put 38 on. You guys were talking about Star Wars, how they were releasing it on DVD at the time, and how they didn't go back in and clean it. It was supposed to be the original theatrical release, but they didn't go in and clean it up or take it from the film negatives. They just basically pressed the Laserdisc editions or whatever.
Oh, yeah, and I remember just, that. Yeah.
Now, everybody knows that George Lucas is
digging in everybody's
pocketbooks. Everyone knows that. They're all irritated. We still buy the stuff. I don't know why, but we do. But what's kind of, you know, I came to the realization, I was watching a documentary on the original, like one of the Star Wars releases or whatever, and he was saying that he wanted to come up to Northern California to get away from the Hollywood system. I mean, he's only made 3 good movies. I wish someone would do that and be successful and make a bunch of great movies. But he's made 3 and then a bunch of snotty ones, and then he keeps re-release and having people double, triple, quadruple dip. And it's just, it's like, I just find it sad that you said that, you wanted to do that, but what you're doing is even more sleazy than the Hollywood system. So, I don't know, I just wanted to vent that out. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Hallelujah!
I'll let you guys get back to the show now.
I don't know if it's worse than the Hollywood system or it's exactly the same.
No, it's worse. He is a sleazebag. Adam's right.
It's worse because he's doing it to get away from Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was rewatching the single season of the genius Peter Serafinowicz show, and he does this bit where he's dressed up like George Lucas, and he's talking about how he's going to go back and redo all the films, but this time it's just going to – all the films are going to be the opening crawl.
Yes.
It's going to merge.
It's just the whole scrolling. He's a genius. I really think he is. But that's funny that even that long ago, we were still bitching about George Lucas. We've been doing it since
George
the beginning.
George Lucas is like the ultimate geek bitch guy. I mean, the guy does so much to just piss on the fans.
I got to say this. My daughter, 5 years old, has been watching A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back over and over again the last 2 weeks. Last week was our vacation. So she was like, I want to watch Star Wars. And I'm very proud of her. She's been watching Empire Strikes Back more than any of them. The one where Luca is in the snow. Because she calls Luke.
Luca.
She calls him Luke sometimes, but sometimes she calls him Luca. Luca Skywalker.
Well, he lives on the second floor.
Right. And it's fun seeing her excited about it. The whole part in A New Hope with the Death Star and they're in the trench. She's got like this little, you know, those fold up keyboards you can do. They're like portable keyboards you take with a laptop. She's got one of those in front of her and she's hitting it like it's a spaceship and stuff. And it reminds me of me when I was a kid, when I would always be in a play spaceship and stuff. It makes me excited. And I got the toy lightsaber and stuff. It's cool to see her excited like that. And I was so proud of her. She's like, I want to watch another Star Wars. What do we got? And I go, well, we could watch the prequels. Let's see. I'll put in The Phantom Menace. She lost interest in it so quick. She didn't want to watch it. She put the old movies back in. And then,
isn't that funny how the movies that George Lucas tailored for children are less interesting than the original films?
There's that part right after the pod race where the movie just drags like hell. They get to Coruscant where the Jedi are and stuff. You'd think that would be exciting. The movie goes to sleep. It's just like no kid could sit through that crap. It's so boring.
Let's just sit around in a circle and talk about shit.
But
the
other day I walked in the room and she was watching something and it was real shitty picture quality. I was like, what are you watching? She goes, oh, a Star Wars. And I was like, well, what Star Wars is that? And I looked closely and I was like, oh my God. She found the Ewok Adventures DVD. Because it's up there on the shelf and she saw the Star Wars logo and recognized it. Oh, another Star Wars. So she put it in and I was just like, oh my God. And she's watched that at least twice too. So she'd rather watch Ewok Adventures.
Is that the one with, like, Caravan of Courage?
Yes, the Caravan of Courage and all that. It's got the little girl who's supposed to be Gertie from E.T.
Yeah, she's got the Olivia Newton-John physical headband.
Right. The first one is her and her family are marooned on Endor, and they're fighting this evil witch. The next movie, they decide to kill off the parents and make them orphans, and then Wilford Brimley is trying to help them.
Well, isn't that much more interesting?
Yeah, and he's got the diabetes.
Yeah, and he force feeds them Quaker oatmeal.
I just remember there's this little...
Those darn Quakers.
...retarded Ewok guy who can run real fast in that, and it doesn't make any sense at all.
He's a mongoloid Ewok?
I don't know what the hell he is. I wanted to see...
I've got an excellent idea. Let's make an Ewok mentally handicapped but really fast. He's like the Forrest Gump of Ewoks.
Right. Does he have the force or something? I don't know, but I want to know what... species this creature is. I want to, because he's all like, and he's like, pew, pew, like running around really fast. It's really awesome, though.
He's like the evolved version of the Ewoks.
But you know what? I would have taken him over Jar Jar any day of the week.
Oh, God, yeah.
But that's what's interesting. That I still love the original trilogy, and it's cool to see my daughter getting into it. And I got to say, she's watched Return of the Jedi once. She can't. It's not that interesting to her.
It's the most boring of all of them.
I mean, I love the whole thing with Luke and the Emperor at the end, but it takes a long time getting there, doesn't it? It's definitely, you know, not the best of the three. But everyone knows that. But we got a Rick voicemail, and we need to get to that, guys. Because Rick, he watched Arena. Let's see what he thought of it.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right, first up, and most importantly, apparently, the noise in the background was my clothes dryer. I wasn't using it, otherwise I would have turned it off, but someone else was. And I didn't want to turn it off just so I could record it. You know, usually I do this like alone when no one's around, because I just feel weird if people are listening to me while I send you a voicemail. You know, it's a personal thing. You know, I don't want other people listening to me. You know, go off, do something else. Stop listening to me. Get out of my face. Yeah, I shut the door thinking that you wouldn't be able to hear as much, but apparently it stuck out like a sore thumb. And he's like, what's going on in the background, Rick? I'm really curious about what's going on in your house. Talk about being nosy. Just kidding. It's fine. With the dryer. And the brewery I work at is Colton United Brewery, which is part of Foster's Group. Yeah, so you're right. Foster's. Yeah. I don't get free beers, but the permanent guys, they get a carton a week, 24 beers. Yeah, beers, or however you think I say it.
Beer.
Oh, that's right.
Beers.
And this week I'm drunk on Pure Blonde.
I'm drunk
on... It's a full-flavoured, full-strength, premium lager. 4.6% alcohol, low-carbohydrate. It's one of the beers we make at work. And
great
here's
taste,
my review
better for
of
you.
Arena. Wow. This movie. Holy crap. What a piece of shit. It did look at certain times that they had stolen some masks out of the costume department for Star Wars. And some quite funny Star Wars cantina moments. But this movie was... there was like this dude called Shorty who was short, and he had four arms, and sometimes it was just like fake arms stuffed full of crap, and other times it was human arms and they had to hide it and do it properly so you couldn't see the dude kneeling down behind him. Yeah, this movie was really crap, and I decided you can't watch crap movies by yourself. You really have to watch it with someone. Otherwise, you just get, like, sad and depressed and life's too short for sitting through this crap. Because, you know, the best part about crappy movies is turning to your mates and going, ha-ha, do you see this crap? And when you do it and there's no one there, it's very sad. And when the guy fought, he had this futuristic adult diaper on, which was very confusing. Very, very
weird. Make
you punch
in the kidneys
but,
or something.
You know, the budget on this was obviously so low. I'm quite impressed with what they did actually pull off, because I've had bigger budgets on my movies. And they don't turn out anywhere as awesome as this shit. You know, it's spectacular, but in the end, you need someone to watch it with you. Otherwise, you know, just go punch yourself in the stomach a few times. Get a bigger kick, I guess.
Luckily, I had Jason.
So I give this movie one star if you're by yourself and you're thinking about life too much. and I give it 5 stars if you're drunk and you're hanging out with mates and you like making fun of silly movies. And I was going to watch Everest with Jason Priestley and William Shatner, but I did some research and apparently they're not in it very much and they're just on the cover to try and help sell the movie.
So shit, I'd buy it then.
F that. Plus, I couldn't find anywhere to watch it online for free. Shut up, dogs. So, yeah. And last week, my wife said I came off a bit homophobic, so I just wanted to let you know I've got nothing against homosexuality and all for gay rights and all that shit. Nothing wrong with a bit of cock every now and then, if you're into that.
Hi, I'm Rick Spike. He told me to say, if you listen to Nowhere in Mulberry, you're sexy.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, Rick sent a picture of him and his wife to go along with the voicemail, and I got to say, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And his wife's pretty
stunning.
Cute, too.
I'm so attracted to Rick.
But what was that bit at the end, though?
Nothing wrong with a bit of cock every now and then.
Let's not do it.
Oh, that was genius there, Rick. Hey. Thank you for the voicemail, and I'm glad you loved Arena.
All right, wow. His next assignment, watch Robot Jocks with his wife.
Oh, and Robot Jocks.
There's another good one, yeah.
You got to get a group of people to watch Robot Jocks. Awesome. But, Bill, The District of the Nine came out this week, am I right?
Or yes, it did.
District 9, but District of the Nine sounds better, doesn't it?
It does. It almost sounds like Drawing of the Three.
But you saw it today, Bill, and we're going to talk about it, right?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, District 9 came out, and from what I can tell, it looks pretty cool, and the effects and everything, original-looking look to it.
Yeah.
But how is it as a movie, sitting there and watching that?
See, what the great thing about District 9 is, there hasn't been a sci-fi movie that's really been about something in a long time. And this is, it's sci-fi, but it's rooted in a type of reality, a situation that's gone on. I mean, it's very heavy in its references to like apartheid, and you know, just it's very topical for the area being taken place in Johannesburg and everything. And yeah, the special effects are tremendous, especially for, you know, being a lower budget film. The direction is tight. Neil Blomkamp is an amazing director. I cannot wait to see more from him. The acting is tremendous. This Sharto Copley, who plays Vilkas Vandermeer, I can't pronounce the name. Supposedly, it's like Smith in South Africa. It's a very common name.
Is the cast good? I mean.
Yeah, it's so good. I can't. It's like I don't want to talk a lot about it because it's special. This movie, from opening to end, I was just blown away. Awesome. 4 stars. If there was more than 4, I'd give it 10 or 11. I really loved it. I can't wait to see it over again. I don't want to get into, you know. You can watch the trailer and get an idea of what it's about, but it's so much more than that.
Awesome. Yeah. Steven and I are going to go see it tomorrow.
Yeah. It's so seamless. It's like part documentary, but then it kind of changes to a like more film type film. It's seamless the way it happens.
Like the structure changes.
Yeah. And it's really good. It's so, so good. It's really dark, though. It's very, very dark. I gotta say that.
Dark as in the mood of the film?
Yeah, it's bleak.
Okay, you know, I gotcha.
But I just loved it. I loved it. I cannot wait to see it again. I want to go see it again. After seeing it, I was like, holy shit, I really, really want this guy to direct Halo. Fall of Reach.
Yeah, because the story was he was handpicked by Peter Jackson to direct Halo originally, right? Yeah. And the movie just kind of fell apart in negotiations due to all the different sides wanting their way.
Yeah, from what I understand, it had a lot to do with the legal battle with Microsoft and stuff like that. So I guess Microsoft just wanted too much to do with it.
Yeah.
But it's this movie's one of a kind, really. I haven't seen anything quite like it.
Sweet.
In my entire life.
Just to shift gears a little, you saw G.I. Joe last weekend, right?
Yeah, I did see G.I. Joe. As I'm watching it, I'm like, hey, man, this is really entertaining. You know, there's some none too subtle references to the cartoon series.
What a piece of shit.
And it's fun. It's action-packed. There's very, you know, there's a couple little lulls with some really needless dialogue.
They go to Coruscant in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the bases are cool. It's so, you know, whenever you watch the original series, there was like the G.I. Joe command base and then Cobra headquarters and all that. And it's very similar in this, except the G.I. Joe base is in the middle of the desert and the Cobra base is under the sea. Under the sea.
Oh, you know what I got to say? When we first saw the trailers to it, it looked just shitty. You know, just
this
looks bad. But then I started seeing footage of Snake Eyes, and I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I'll go see this. It looks stupid fun, right? Is Snake Eyes pretty cool?
We've seen worse. So.
Yeah, Arena.
Well, yeah. What's funny is the Snake Eyes stuff is so boring. It's like the parts of the movie that you're like, ugh. There's this whole storyline that they worked in. Of Snake Eyes as a child fighting against
Storm Shadow.
Yeah, it's like Snake Eyes is the white boy who's adopted.
Take his milk money or something?
Training center, and there's this rivalry and all that. And it's just like, oh, my God, get on with it.
Wow,
every time there's a flashback, I was just like, ugh.
What about Cobra Commander? Was that well done?
Well, it's different. It's kind of funny the way they do it is Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Cobra Commander, but he's not Cobra Commander in the film. He's the Doctor. And he doesn't become Cobra Commander until, like, the last minutes of the movie. He puts on a new mask and goes, call me the Commander.
Nice.
And it's just like, oh, okay.
You know what? I'm trying to name Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He has a long name. How about we just call him Jogo?
That works.
Jogo.
He did really well, but it's like the entire script is just weak shit.
Yeah.
Like, the motive for him to become Cobra Commander is so stupid. Like, he's good friends with Duke. And Duke is engaged to his sister, Anna. Not Duke's sister, you know what I mean. Cobra Commander, or I think his name, what was his name? Rex.
Pork chop sandwiches!
Yeah, exactly. Rex in the film is like a science officer, and they go to attack some base. And Duke sends Rex into this bunker to get some scientific information. And then while Rex is in there, he discovers this guy. He discovers Dr. Mindbender.
Oh, yeah.
Working on nanomite technology. And he's like, wow, this is awesome. I can't believe this. And Mindbender locks him in there and says, if you stay here, I can show you much more. And I was like, oh, so they're, you know, something or other. He's going to rape him. Yeah, and then airstrike comes in too early. And it gets blown up. And Rex is supposedly dead. And Duke's upset. And Duke's fiance, Anna, is upset at Duke because he got his brother killed. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Well, I got to ask this one question, Bill, about G.I. Joe. Who the hell is Heavy Duty?
Who the hell is he?
Yeah. I don't remember him from the cartoon.
Yeah, Heavy Duty was from the cartoon.
It sounds like he's going to take a hellacious dump, doesn't it?
I've got a Heavy Duty!
Why not have Roadblock in the movie? Where's Roadblock?
But I think Heavy Duty is... he's from later on. He's from, like, the early 90s, I think. He's not from the original series.
But where the hell's Roadblock? Is he in the movie?
No, but it's mentioned that... I think... somewhere that he's Roadblock's cousin.
Oh, what? Come on.
So maybe Roadblock will show up sometime.
Heavy
duty. Also, the other thing that was really annoying, Marlon Wayans won. But Marlon Wayans is Ripcord, who is in love or interested in Rachel Nichols' hot Scarlet. So like, there's like this whole thing throughout the movie of Ripcord trying to hit on Scarlet, and then they kind of bond, and then Ripcord gets into a dangerous situation, and Scarlet all of a sudden is concerned about him, and it's like, oh, come on. It's G.I. Joe. And Ripcord was never involved with Scarlet. Scarlet was involved with Duke. Knock it off.
Do they jump out of airplanes before they blow up or anything like that? Like, bail out?
No, but there's... Well, yeah, actually, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, Ripcord does at the very end.
No, I always hated that in the cartoon. Why can't people die?
But it's just... It's a terrible film, but it's mindless fun.
Right. Yeah, I get
it. It's much better than Transformers, but it's still bad.
You know what Steven Sommers movie that's stupid fun is that Deep Rising with Treat Williams? I, like, have watched that multiple times. It's so stupid and bad, but I, like, have fun watching it.
I see it. I watch it all the time whenever it's on.
Well, my Steven Sommers guilty pleasure is Van Helsing. I know it's horrible. I know. It's really bad. But yeah, I have it on HD DVD, and I actually enjoy watching it sometimes.
I like the first Mummy.
Yeah, the first Mummy was good. Oh, there's the other thing. Brandon Fraser shows up for like 5 minutes in the movie, and he's Sergeant Slaughter.
Huh?
But they can't call him by the name because they don't own the rights.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like Sergeant Slot or so. I can't exactly call him. But I was like, he's Sergeant Slaughter. Just call him. What the fuck? I got very upset at this film.
Wow.
Now, let me ask you this, Bill. You also saw the astronaut's wife, the time traveler's wife with Rachel McAdams and Eric Banana. Eric Banana.
Banana.
And you said it wasn't good, right? Or
no, it's really boring. It's like, oh, look, we're in love, but he's an absent husband, and he's like, you know, it's kind of a play on an actual relationship. How sometimes the person's there, but they're not really there, kind of thing. But it's bad. The book is good. I can't recommend the book enough. But the movie, it's like they took the entire heart and soul out of the book and stomped on it, and then...
Do they put in, like, an action scene, or... I wanted to ask you this. That show Journeyman, did you ever watch that? I was wondering if...
That was a great show.
I was wondering if the book was kind of inspiration for that show, or not at all. I don't know.
I really honestly don't know.
Like, does he time travel just his body, just disappears?
Yeah, it's just his body, his clothes.
He doesn't, like go in a time machine or anything, right?
No, it's just... Boof, he's gone.
All right. Well, okay. I can't wait to see The District of the Nine tomorrow. I'm excited. But
yeah, it's really good. I think you'll come out of it going, wow. The feeling you had when you saw Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is the feeling you're going to have when you leave this movie.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Any shaky cam in the movie?
Well, it's shot documentary style, so yes.
I love shaky cam.
But you know what? It doesn't bother me. It's like documentary, but you're there kind of thing. It's just very, very cool.
Sweet.
I have no problem with shaky cam. In fact, I don't call it shaky cam. I call it nothing. It's just camera work.
Nothing cam.
Nothing cam.
Vibro cam.
It's you're there cam.
Shoulder cam.
It's like
cam.
There's no cam.
Yeah, the cinema verite. Yeah. Whatever. What am I talking about? Let's talk about what's on our TiVo. What do you say? Wee-hee! Ho! Oh! Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
Sounded like somebody dying with a chainsaw or something.
I beat the shit out of him!
I love that. I haven't seen One Crazy Summer in years, and I was laughing out loud during the intro on that.
They've been showing it on HDNet Movies, and me and Heather have watched it multiple times. They're like, oh, sweet, One Crazy Summer's on again, and we'll just sit and watch it again.
Why are you so fat? Why are you so fat? Beat the shit out of him.
Were you the little fat boy?
No.
I used to beat the shit out of him.
I mean, come on. The movie's so stupid. Like, the uncle that stays in the room listening to the radio to win the money. And
yeah. My favorite part is, well, actually, I have multiple favorite parts, but remember the mean guy kicks the dog and they cut to the animal hospital and there's a dog pushing another dog in a wheelchair and it's got a cast. It's so silly. But,
and then the dog has the satellite around its head, and then all the puppies have the satellites around their heads.
Yeah. It's a fun movie.
Ack, ack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, okay, let's get down to business, shall we? We're going to talk about Big Brother, Hell's Kitchen, Cake Boss. We got no Jesse James this week. I don't know where he's been.
He died.
But every morning I watch the Today Show. We've mentioned Hoda Kotb before, Bill.
Hoda Kotb.
Oh, is it Hoda Kotb? Okay.
Hoda
Kotb. She likes to do the news, and she takes slips off her shoes. And they kind of notice, like, oh, your feet sore or something? And she's like, oh, no, I just take them off because I have high heels, and it makes me be up too high or whatever. You know, it's just random chit-chat. Until Al Roker comes in with a rude comment, and I just thought we needed to bring this to light. Let's check this out.
How are you doing, Hoda?
And I'm doing quite well, too. Thank you.
Feet a little sore this morning, or?
Is there a reason why you're not wearing shoes? She's barefoot in the news.
Hoda always does that.
I know, Hoda.
There's a reason, because I think when I'm on heels, I'm out of the, see, I'm up here. So
okay.
I've got to go barefoot.
You've got to be in the
I've
camera.
I've got to be in the flat.
Right. Okay.
You have such pretty feet.
Yeah. And she's the tall one of all of us.
Exactly.
I'm a cleansing ex lady. I thought I was smelling bad Chinese.
This began as a sweet,
an odor. That's
Okay.
Just give us the weather.
Okie dokie.
He said her feet smell like bad Chinese food.
Al Roker always does that. He's such an asshole. He did that just the other week whenever, I forget what happened was, Meredith Vieira asked Al what the weather was like in Africa because her daughter's there. And Al took offense to that, saying that, like, what, he knows because he's black?
Did he take play offense to it?
Yeah, he did. He did. And throughout the show, he kept dropping these little, like, you know, digs at Meredith about weather in Africa.
Wow.
And it's just like he's like, I don't know, he's kind of an asshole.
I thought I was smelling bad Chinese.
I think he's just hungry still after getting the staple.
Yeah, he's like, stapled. He smelled her feet and he's like, damn, I'm hungry for some Chinese food. All right, you know, we haven't talked about this at all because there's no Leonid anymore, but America's Got Talent, you know, is...
thank you, David.
Is he even on there anymore? David Hasselhoff?
Yeah. God, yeah, is he there?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right, because I see commercials where he's always wowed or tears up at some little kid.
Or he always comes walking in late to the...
He shows up from the bar, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, they have these... Every time I look on there, everyone looks awful, but they have these three super hot blonde foreign chicks who play the violin. And I guess that's kind of cool. Except this time they decided they're going to dance sexy and sing at the same time. And it's kind of like, what the hell's going on here?
Train wreck.
Yeah. And they can't sing, but they're super hot. And Sharon Osbourne wanted to know why they're dancing like strippers. Let's check it out.
Oh, I thought that was part of the
Mr.
song.
Mr. Morgan, what happened?
Sorry? Sorry, I can't hear you, Nick. No, seriously, I think my eardrums just exploded. What are you trying to say to me?
Do you have any comments for at least one?
That, unless I'm mistaken, that was an attempt at a top G, yeah?
That was.
Yeah, well, my ears are bleeding.
Why are we doing the stripper moves, girls? I don't understand all the stripper moving, the violins, the singing.
Ratings?
I don't know whether you're a strip act, a violin act, or a singing act. I am very confused.
We're all of it. We love being
stripping.
Sexy.
Hey, they're the whole package, right, Stephen?
I know, really.
We love sexy.
So upset about.
I can tell.
And, you know, I got to be honest, her singing didn't sound that bad. I mean, I can't hit that G.
Other than, well, that,
It certainly wasn't good, but if she's hot, I don't mind.
Why
actually, she hit that note pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Now, guys, a show even worse than this show is Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List.
Oh, that's still on?
Yeah, and they're doing a little ceremony for Kathy. I have no idea why, because I wasn't really watching the show.
Because she just had her transgender surgery?
Right. She has a penis now, you know.
No, I thought she had her penis removed.
If you're into that, I guess.
Oh, I get it. She was a dude before.
Wow.
So, Bill, what happens here is two huge celebrities show up. This is D-List. I don't know why these huge celebrities show up. Like,
So if A-list celebrities show up on a D-list show, does that make the show an average, like, C-minus?
I don't know. Okay, I'm talking about George Clooney. Talking like Angelina big. Let's check this out. You're going to be blown away. Just get ready. Huge star shows up on this shitty piece of shit show. I don't know how it happened. Let's check it out.
And now, Kathy, for two more great surprises, please welcome Suzanne Summers.
And huge.
Wait, who's the second one?
Gary Manilow?
This is how we roll.
Wait, listen. It sounds like the dude says Gary Manilow. Listen.
And now, Kathy, for two more great surprises, please welcome Suzanne Summers. And Gary Manilow.
It's Gary! It's his cousin.
It's so A-list to have Suzanne Summers and Barry Manilow surprise me. Like, we're all pals. This is how we roll. This is how we A-list.
Huge star, Steven.
On each other.
Huge.
I couldn't believe it because it was so great. I'm still, like, shaking it on a high five.
Oh, this gets funnier the longer it goes, doesn't it?
I've had diet soda. I'm shaking, frankly, because Suzanne Summers made me not have diet soda today. I'm shaking from water. That's what I'm shaking from.
Oh, shut up.
Jesus, it's... not funny, and you're not finding the funny. I'm sorry, honey.
I love how she's, like, trying to dig deeper and deeper to find a joke in there.
And there's nothing there.
And there's nothing.
She's got a shovel. She's digging through a cat litter box. She's not finding a turd.
It's like, when was Suzanne Summer an A-list? In the late 70s, early 80s?
The guy's like, and Gary Manilow.
He totally says Gary. That is a G.
Have you guys seen Barry Manilow lately? He doesn't look like the same dude.
No.
He looks weird. He's an alien, I think.
Did he have a lot of plastic surgery done to his face?
Yeah, I think maybe he was abducted by aliens and they did the...
He looks like
plastic surgery on him.
He's had some facelifts.
Well, he looks like a stick. He's got no body weight. I'm pretty sure he's dying, or he's an alien inside like a rubber suit or something.
He got the HIV?
I don't know, Steven.
Eddie Murphy is inside his head.
Steven, that was in poor taste. Don't you think that? That's bad.
What? What did Steven say? I didn't hear it.
Does Gary Manilow have the HIV? HIV.
Oh, come on, Steven.
What's wrong with that?
He may frequent bathhouses, but that's not to say that.
I think my eardrums exploded.
He said he was frail.
Yeah, he's very frail. I just meant he's maybe dieting or something.
I mean, hell, Stephen might as well have said, "Well, he's covered in lesions and."
Sorry.
Okay, it's getting too bad. Let's talk about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? We never talk about this show, Steven.
Wow. Wait, is there a reason to talk
on?
About
it? Yeah, it's been on because ABC's got nothing, I guess, or it might be on CBS. I don't even know. But you know, do you guys know who Katy Perry is? Because I don't.
Yeah.
I know she's
she's hot.
Well,
she did that horrible song that I kissed girl and I liked it.
Wow. Yeah, that is a bad song. So she's on the show talking to Regis and talking about her cat, Kitty Perry. And
she starts
talking about the cat kneading on her belly. You know how cats go and they do the pushing with their paws? Well, Regis has no idea what the hell she's talking about. He thinks that she's saying that it's really like making bread on it or something. Just listen to how puzzled he is. I thought it was funny. Let's check it out.
And you have a little kitty cat, too.
Oh, yes. She's become quite the legend. Her name is Kitty Purry?
Yeah, Kitty Purry.
Yeah. She's cute. She's really cute.
What kind of cat is she?
She's a tabby cat. She was an alley cat, and she kind of found her way into my house, and now she's definitely eating that good golden tuna.
I bet you sing to her, too, once in a while, huh?
Yeah, every once in a while. Attica. She likes to knead dough on my belly. You know, like
me?
A cat does when they knead on you?
They knead like dough on your belly.
Yeah.
And what is she making there?
Biscuits.
You have a cat, you just don't
No, I have a cat.
Oh,
I love my cat. Oh. 20 years here with this little cat. Just left me a couple years ago, and I haven't been the same.
I'm sorry.
I really mean it. Thanks for depressing me.
Okay. Well, my little Molly kitty.
No, hey.
Well, no.
It's my little Molly kitty. Hey, that cues up Big Brother talk, huh? Thank God that Ronnie
nice
douche
segue.
Is gone, huh?
Oh, I know.
Nice segue. Seriously, Big Brother, I've been into it this week because Jeff, a person that doesn't annoy the shit out of me, got the coup d'etat power. Or the
coup de tat.
Yeah, the coup de tat. Because America votes for who gets it, and he won. And he gets the thing, Bill, and he picks it up. And he goes, what? Coup de tat? Oh, you can tell it's an edit because they told him how to say it. And he goes, oh, coup d'etat.
Yeah.
But that means he can overthrow the HOH and whoever they put up. So he could totally screw over Chima, who's the HOH this week. And I was really worried that he wouldn't do it because I really wanted somebody to get Jesse out or get Natalie, the two people that just annoy the shit on me out of me. And I was really worried he wouldn't do it. And I was hoping that maybe since America gave him the power, he'd feel obligated. Like, oh, I got to do something for America. They gave it to me, so I'd do something. But before that, Bill, a special guest, an A-list star, showed up to the Big Brother house.
It's Gary Manilow.
It's Gary Manilow shows up. And this actually did catch me by surprise. I hadn't read it anywhere, Bill. So I was like, what the hell? And let's check it out. Do you have any idea who it is, Steven? Because maybe this will surprise you.
I have no clue.
When Gary Manilow walks in. Let's check it out.
Somebody's at the door.
Oh. Hey.
Oh.
How are you?
Jeremy Piven.
Hello.
Hi.
And might I say, the reason he shows up here is to totally shamelessly plug his new movie.
Yeah.
What is it called? The Rules? The Goods.
The Goods, yeah.
And they're going to do a little thing. What do they call that? Where they do the food competition or whatever. And whoever wins it, the haves
the
and the
have-nots.
Whoever wins it gets to watch his movie, The Goods. And it's really exciting. But I need to set this up. Jeremy Piven's just hanging out with him. It's really cool and stuff. And he goes, hey, I'll see you guys on the outside. And Jesse's like, whoa, when? How are you going to reach us or whatever? And he's like, what? He's like, how am I going to get a hold of you or whatever? It's like, he's just saying that. Yeah. He's not going to hang out with you. And Jesse's like, well, can I get your phone number or something? Tell me where you live, dude. I'll show up. But wasn't that awkward, Bill?
Well, Jesse is such a star effer.
Yeah.
That he's like, oh, so Jeremy Piven wants to befriend me? He probably has no idea who Jeremy Piven is, but he's like, hey, okay, aren't you going to leave a number?
Yeah.
I'm going to be a sports entertainer.
Hey, that's that guy from One Crazy Summer. He was one of the assholes in that.
He's that guy from PCU. I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, let's check this out.
Great energy about him. He energized the house. We're all abuzz about it. So I think it was great not just to have a celebrity, but to have Jeremy Piven.
Who do you guys think is going to be the first one to lose it? My money says it's this woman right here. I feel like, you know, and God bless you, because I've been here for 11 minutes, and I'm about to have a complete emotional breakdown. I'll see you guys on the other side.
How are we going to be able to take you up on that?
On the other side?
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Oh, you'll find us.
I'm going to find you. Yeah, it's easy to find. I know how to find you guys.
Seeing him was a breath of fresh air. Plus, he's a celebrity, and we actually can say that now we've met him. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, if you want to chill outside the house, that's awesome.
Good luck, you guys.
That's not what he meant, Jesse.
The movie was awful.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, it looks bad.
So, yeah, okay, all that happened. But then the time for the coup d'etat, the coup de tat was happening, Steven. let's see if Jeff used it. And the best part about this, I thought, Bill, was when he stood up and everyone was like, oh, damn it, I knew it. Just listen to Kevin in the background. Oh, I knew it. But they were all just guessing everyone. Come on. Nobody knew it.
No.
But
I knew it.
One of my favorite parts, it's not in the clip, but when he puts up Natalie and then he puts up Jesse, he's like, you know, I thought maybe you guys should feel what it's like to sit up here. And he goes, enjoy. I just love the way he said enjoy. Let's check this out. It's awesome.
If the holder of the mystery power would like to use it, please stand now.
Was I on our E?
As you can see,
I knew it.
America has granted Jeff the mystery power, and he has decided to use it. Would you like to take Russell off the block?
I would.
Russell, come on off. Take a seat on the couch. You have been saved from eviction.
Nice.
Jeff, who would you like to put up in his place?
Sorry, buddy.
There it is. By a vote of 3-2, Jesse, you are evicted from the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
I'll be a sports entertainer, no worries. Ah.
Well, before you do that, you'll be in the jury house.
I thought I was smelling bad Chinese.
No, Brayden, no.
What is that sports entertainer shit?
I don't know how he thinks he's going to become one. He's too short.
I'll be a sports entertainer, no worries.
And I don't think they allow men with chin implants in the WWE.
Yeah, it would get shattered, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. Broken plastic splintering in my chin. I don't know. I think he was touching
himself. That was real sound from the HOH bedroom when Lydia was giving him a hand job.
I got to say this. That Jeff took Lydia off the block and put up Natalie and then got Jesse out, but now Lydia is all pissed off at Jeff for doing that. She's the biggest moron I've ever seen.
She's obviously like codependent or something.
And she's like, Jesse, my boyfriend, you kicked him out. The guy was ashamed to even say that he'd done anything with her. Does anyone know that they did any of that stuff?
No, nobody. I think Lydia told Kevin, you know, because Kevin, you know, he does that stuff.
No, Brayden, no.
Yeah, she's a moron. So I'm hoping that Jeff and Jordan last a while in there, at least to get that Chima and Natalie out.
You know what's crazy is supposedly Lydia, not supposedly, she was the nanny for Heather Mills and Paul McCartney for their kid.
I heard that rumor.
Beatrice McCartney. And yeah, it's not a rumor.
They posted
whatever.
Pictures where you could see her hands in shots. And, you know, she's got a rose tattoo on her hand and stuff. So that's pretty
weird.
Yeah,
and there's a picture of her pushing Beatrice in the trolley.
And you know what? You know what? Now that I think about it, the season with Evil Dick, Jen, she was the nanny for Vanna White. So is it like Friends?
I think that's actually more important than Paul McCartney.
But, I mean, it's like somebody, a producer's friend is like, you know, our nanny would be great for your show. Well, let me meet her. That's what it sounds like. People call
it
me
favors. It absolutely is.
I mean, come on.
Wow.
You don't get on that show by auditioning.
I mean, that's what I want to know. Is Jesse banging some dude in a head office? Is that how he got back on the show?
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
Nothing wrong with a bit of cock every now and then.
Yeah. Well, Bill, let's just take...
What do you say, Rick?
Let's, on that note, let's take a break. We'll be right back and talk about Hell's Kitchen. What do you say?
Yes.
Awesome.
I thought I was smelling bad Chinese.
Mario! Mario! Mario!
Back in the all-new Super Mario 3. Nintendo, now you're playing with power.
One fish fits in the ocean. One fish fits in the sea.
It's one fish as kids love. It is Daddy Ken's for me.
Annie.
It is Daddy Ken's for me.
Your kids will love the great fresh taste of Vandy Camps. No wonder they're number one in families with kids.
If the
shade hip.
It's Mandy Kemp's for me.
And me.
It's Mandy Kemp's for me.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
It doesn't matter what comes, fresh feels better in life. With Menta fresh and full of life. Nothing gets to you, staying fresh, staying cool. With Menta fresh and full of life. Fresh goes better.
Menta's freshest.
Mentos, the fresh maker.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
Hey,
I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say.
You could give your kids a baloney made from less than 100% pure beef or one with fillers. The question is, why would you?
Cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-A.
Thank goodness it's Friday.
Thank goodness it's Chef Boyardee Pizza.
Friday night fun starts with fresh pizza.
And half the fun is making it ourselves.
Thank goodness it's Friday.
Thank goodness it's Chef Boyardee.
Anything to declare?
Diarrhea.
Permit me.
Kaopectate.
But of course.
Now, advanced formula Kaopectate. Just this much relieves diarrhea and cramps fast.
Viva the Kaopectate!
The diarrhea specialist.
Hello, I'm here in the Appetizing Hall of Fame to find the perfect adjective to describe Schweppes Raspberry Ginger Ale. It's pink with the tart taste of raspberries and the kick of ginger ale.
I've got exciting, revolutionary, unique, swell, flavorific. Very nice indeed.
That's it. Schweppes Raspberry Ginger Ale is very nice indeed.
Your bill.
Thank you. Now, do you have an adjective to describe highway robbery?
Schweppes Raspberry Ginger Ale. Schweppervescence in pink.
Billy's got the blues. Those homework blues. But Billy, don't let it bother you. Your mom has got good news. We're baking cookies.
Cookies?
My chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
So chocolatey, chewy. And so creamy.
Pillsbury's best chocolate chip cookies. Just 10 minutes bakes those blues away.
Well, that's everybody staring at. Nothing says loving like my chocolate chip cookies.
Woo-hoo. I'm a mathematical maniac, and when I'm pounding out problems, I smack bubbly and bubblegum. They're new three-flavored packs with wild cherry, grape, and regular. Equals three flavors, five pieces, one place. It's good for division, splitting among friends. And it's perfect for popping. With a three-flavor pack, it's a fact. I'll never flunk in taste. Now, geography, that's a different subject. Bubble yum, keep the popping.
Dear Jenny, you're so neat. I don't usually pour my heart out like this.
I'm mesmerized.
Your effervescent charm.
My passion for you will never be quenched.
I
will always thirst for your companionship.
Oh, Jenny, you must feel so special.
I feel like a Pepsi.
I've got a what?
A brush. I really do.
It's inconceivable.
How could I possibly have a cavity?
This is devastating.
If your little kid has a cavity, we've got news for you. Over the years, one toothpaste has helped prevent more cavities than all others combined.
Yay!
Not surprisingly, it's the toothpaste more dentists recommend. Crest.
This is a totally incredible visit.
Yes!
It's great!
Crest. It's hard on cavities and easy on you.
I'm out of here.
I hate when that happens. Look, it's all over my food and everything.
Ortega taco shells are made with whole kernel corn, not processed corn flour. And tacos made the Ortega way won't break.
Oh, I hate that. I hate when that happens.
Ortega, we make them so you don't break them.
Time to make the donuts.
Time to make the donuts.
Great donut makers aren't born. They're made.
We made the donuts.
Cheetos brand presents Just a Cheetah.
I'm a cool daddy-o, rocking on the patio.
when before my very eyes I see cheese materialize. And my funky jive takes a dive for the cheese that goes crunch. It's not easy being cheesy.
Cheetos, the cheese that goes crunch.
The Noid's a wicked wizard who makes pizzas old and cold. And now he's off to meet his greatest challenge, the magic of hot, fresh Domino's pizza. Hot and fresh because it's delivered in less than 30 minutes, guaranteed. So hot and so fresh that even the Noid can't break the spell. So call now. Domino's pizza delivers hot and fresh.
Golden tuna.
All right, we're back. Whee!
I'll be a sports entertainer, no worries.
Shut up. Now, hey, Bill, Hell's Kitchen. And you know
what?
The worst part about not doing the show for a couple weeks is we fall behind on all these shows, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, two episodes.
Should we just say, like, what was it, last week? Lovely's now gone.
Thank goodness.
Poor Lovely.
You had a problem with Lovely, Steven?
Other than just being annoying?
And the week before...
You didn't think she was lovely?
Well, one thing is I got to say is usually the women are more together, it seems like, every season. The women are horrible this season.
Yeah, this season they're...
Well, it's Whoopi Goldberg throwing a monkey and everything.
Tennille... Okay, I got to say this about Tennille.
That's racist.
I got to say this about Tennille. She's a loud talker when she's in that...
confessional booth.
Yeah, the confessional when she's sitting back there.
The confessional pantry.
Can everyone else hear her? You know, they're like, we know what you said because you're so freaking loud. She's like, no way, Chef Ramsay. But they did this thing for this GI from Iraq, and it was real happy or whatever. He came back and from Iraq, and Gordon Ramsay wanted to give him a dinner. I don't know why, but sure, it's nice.
It was just... another gimmick.
But the chicks were messing it all up. And
the guys had finished their entire service.
Yeah,
and
the
were
entire
on desserts.
Thing. I don't even think anybody really got yelled at that much either, did they? Even the...
old Tech, she got yelled at.
No, I mean on the guy side. Oh. They were pretty perfect.
No, on the guy side, yeah. I think Jimmy got a little bit of shit.
The guy cooking the steaks.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
And Jimmy, he's... You know, he was just slammed, too. You couldn't even say it was really... I mean, he was just getting slammed by it. Everybody was ordering steak that night. And
that's got to be really hard to keep track of, like, what's what or when you put...
Oh,
you know.
I couldn't. They're like, we need two rare, one medium well, two wells, one well done.
If they
and
did
it like
any...
Huh?
When I worked in a restaurant, you got different sections of the grill.
Yeah, it looked like he was just slapping each one on
one section. One section's for well, one section's for medium, one's for rare.
Yeah, it didn't look like he was doing that, did it? Or at least
no, that's what surprised me the most about it was he was just throwing them on there. Yeah, you can tell by touch, like what's rare and what's well done and stuff like that. But still, not to have any rhyme or reason on how you're running your grill is a little...
You know when
crazy.
Was it this week that Chef Scott got in that one dude's face? And he was like, "You're gonna mess this up for everybody." Or was
no,
that
was
last
week.
I would have punched that dude in the face.
Chef like, Scott, man, he's
like, "You're
like,
not Gordon Ramsay."
That was the first time I've ever heard him get verbal.
I know.
Like that.
I think he's taking roids or some shit.
He's a weird dude.
Either that, or they normally cut it out when he's yelling at people.
Yeah, it's like, why does he even care? Like, remember last week, Robert was pissed because they failed their little. Whatever.
Making sausage.
Yeah, they couldn't make any sausage for the life of him. He was like, damn it! He was like smashing stuff, and Chef Scott was like, well, if you had this passion during the competition, then maybe you would have won. He's like, damn it, don't you understand? I could have died, and I'm back here, or whatever. And it's just like, what?
I could have been a contender!
I thought he was going to have a heart attack right there, yeah. But apparently they're saving that for next week.
You know what? I think that's like the ultimate tease. He probably, like, hurt his wrist or something.
But do they have to do the sound effect of the EKG, the beep? like, you're teasing that he's going to die? Yeah, are these
well, you
people...
know what else was funny in that teaser? There's a moment where Ramsay says, like, I wouldn't feed that to a dog. And then they took a clip of him, like, screaming and then put, like, somebody voice over a growl.
Yeah.
Like,
come on. Jesus. And then this week, I thought for sure we were going to get Francisco again because we're going to have a party planning and who's going to help you is. And I was like, oh, here's Francisco, my wife. And I was like, huh?
And then, his mistress was on last season. He's got to bring his wife this season.
The chick that said, you know, was like, I can't believe he's got such a good good-looking wife for being an ass.
Yeah, I don't do that.
And,
like,
and then she became just as bossy.
Most good-looking women like assholes.
I'm saying, she was just as bossy, and then she's like, oh, that's why.
Give it guns, people. Now, let's go ahead and check this out. Basically, what happens is the women suck. They can't get any entrees out. So he's like, men, you're done. Come over here. And that's like the ultimate insult. Just listen to Neil, man. She talks loudly about it.
It's an hour and a half into the homecoming party. And unbelievably, none of the Red Diners have received an entree.
Stupid cows.
Whoa.
Oh, ow. Hey, have you finished?
Dessert, chef.
Desserts. Kevin, stand desserts. All of you, come in here.
Yes, chef.
Hey, guys, get on a section, will you, please, yes?
Yes, chef.
Oh! Add insult to injury, rub salt in the wound. What just happened?
Away now. Two penne, three New York strip, two chicken, one catfish.
Yes, chef. Yes, chef.
Ah, yeah, boy. That's right. I can hear it. It's them bitches crying.
Do you need anything?
What is he talking about?
There was just scraps of meat just everywhere. It was a kitchen apocalypse. Like a hand grenade went
kitchen
off.
Kitchen apocalypse,
the cow's
a great
ass.
Movie.
But
that's going to be on Sci-Fi in a couple weeks.
Kitchen apocalypse. But they all decided that Tennille was going up. I don't know why, when it should have been Tech, right?
Well, Tech yeah. did get go up.
Yeah, but remember they did the whole thing where like, okay, yeah, let's put Tennille up, and she was like, I don't belong up here. And Gordon Ramsay's like, what? She's like, I don't belong up here. This
yeah,
is
no,
bullshit.
She said, oh, okay, whatever. Just sit down. I don't want to hear you yelling anymore.
He's like, this bullshit.
He's sit like, down, Lafayette.
So he's like, okay, go
who
back.
Who do you think should be up here?
Hooker, I don't belong up here. So then the Tech, who has an awesome name, gets...
Well, she's who the those Shatner books were based on.
Yeah, Tech War. Hey, why'd he stop? I guess he finished the saga. He's done with that universe, I guess. The Tech universe.
Well, he had to take off because Tech was going on Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, you're right. So, yeah, she's gone and... Hey, next week, Bill, Robert will die on the show. So that's going to be fun to watch, don't you think?
First reality show death. Awesome.
But it's just like, next week. And he's like, oh, I'm in pain. It's like, beep.
Call an ambulance.
Yeah. Come on. Remember when they did the beginning
of... They still
of...
haven't showed the dude cut his fingers off
yeah.
yet.
But do you remember when they were like, coming up, you won't believe what you see. And they show Chef Scott with a flashlight in the dark. He's like, everybody get up or whatever. And it's like, oh my God, what's going on? It was a fake fire where they had to wash the fireman's truck or whatever. But remember they show a clip, he's waving the flashlight and it's like so shocking. Oh my God, what the hell's going on in there?
You know, they should have put
get
in
up, a bomb was dropped in L.A.
So here's
they
what
they should have put
think...
like a smoke machine in the rooms, you know.
But here's what
through.
They're going to do. They're going to kill Robert off and trick everyone. Then he's going to show up at the end. I want to see what it would be like if someone
Louis.
Died. You gotta still finish, you know, a dinner service, even though one of your men die. So yeah. That was a test. You all failed.
Do it for Robert.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've got a broke thumb. You've got broken ankles.
Yeah, what is that about?
Robert died.
And it was true what that one guy said on the Stacy, so the other guy could come to his rescue. He goes over there, here, let me help you out. And he's like, oh, you're the hero. I didn't do anything over here.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's talk about the cake boss, Bill.
Is it, yeah, you wouldn't have known what to cook if it wasn't for him. Yeah. You'd have had steaks on there grilling for no reason.
No kidding. But, hey, that GI,
yeah,
he loves a steak, right? Now let's talk about the Cake Boss. We barely had Cake Boss on the show this week, right, Bill?
Yeah, it was not only a miscommunication, but we just couldn't find it.
It was at TLC always puts it every week. They didn't put this episode called Leaning Lobsters and Something.
The Drawing of the Three.
And Linguistics. Yeah, that's why I was like, wait, Leaning Tower, Lobstrosity. I think, buddy, he just read The Drawing of the Three, and he's, like, doing a show about it.
What would have been great is if they had to do a cake for Detta Walker.
Yeah.
You now, honk, mofa!
The best part about the show, Bill, was this guy, he's like, oh, yeah, my friends are getting married, and they're going to have
That was so scripted.
Yeah, they're going to have a clam bake or something. He's like, a clam bake, really? Yeah, they're going to have lobsters and stuff. Well, what if I do, like, a pot? Get two lobsters, and they're about to jump in the boiling pot. How about a cake like that? And he's like, wow, can you make that? He goes, yeah, of course I can make it. And it's like, okay. And it's like, wow, you guys came to that conclusion really fast.
Yeah.
So, of course, Stretch has been fired, I guess, Bill, because they never mentioned Stretch.
Yeah, now it's Cousin anymore. Anthony.
Yeah, what happened to Stretch? Did they write his character out of the show, I guess?
Yeah, they dropped a five-pound bag of flour on his head.
They're going to find Stretch in the harbor one day.
No, actually, he's quadriplegic now.
He got hired by another cake company. Can't yeah, talk about him.
The rival cake company. Now, also, he's going to make a Leaning Tower of Pizza, or a pizza for this couple.
Pizza. It's delicious.
And they're going to have them on a little moped sitting in front of the tower and everything. I got to say, that cake did look pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was very impressed with how it ended up coming together.
But I got to say this. Where do you cut it at? How do you take the first bite? I never know.
Yeah, that's because there's like a plate in between every two layers for the columns and stuff. Because
people always ask about it. They go, can we eat this? And he goes, yeah, you can eat it. And he walks away. And I guarantee you they're like, how do we eat this? Where do I cut it? Do I just grab the people on the moped and eat that or what?
I think what you take do the is top, you just
take the top plate in. Off and you start with that one, and you keep working your way
down. I think you just
down.
Grab into it and just...
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
Now, also, what's going on here is Buddy Sisters, or I think every female there is one of his sisters, they want to bitch about stuff downstairs, like at the counter, and they never really answer them because they're too busy. But that's what I was going to say. This lobster guy's like, I need this next Friday. He's like, all right, no problem. I'm going to go make my tower cake. The guy comes back. He goes, I was wrong. I need it tonight. I didn't really... The party's tonight. I don't know what I was thinking. He's
like anybody is that clueless.
He's like, tonight? Well, what are you doing, man? I don't have time to do that. He goes, please. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. And the guy walks away. He's like, what is this friggin' jerk, man? I should have said no. And he's like, hey, guys, this guy, can you believe him? What an idiot. He needs it tonight. And they're like, oh, whatever. And what is that one guy? He goes, N-O. That's what you should have said to him.
Yeah, I can't stand that guy. He's always in the background saying something stupid.
He's like, yeah, he's always, what? So let's go ahead and check this out. It's awesome. It's all fun at Cake Boss Alley, right?
Okay. Cake Boss Alley.
What is the store called? Carlo's Bakery. Let's check it out. Awesome music.
Hello.
Guys.
We're busy.
Hi.
You got to understand something. We have an intercom system. Sometimes they say something, and then we answer, and they don't hear us. And it's like they think that we're doing it purposely, and they take it offensively.
Guys.
Guys.
What?
a gaming cake. What's the smallest one?
Lisa, take a message, Lisa. Take a
Somebody
message.
Somebody disconnect the phones.
Like a buddy box.
Buddy box.
What?
A buddy box.
Take a message!
Lisa, I'm busy.
How many people?
I'm busy.
I don't know what you think. You guys, what are you doing? You're playing with lobsters, and I don't know what I got to do first downstairs. We're busy.
And they start in. What?
Do they have a live DJ there?
Just answer the question. That's it.
I'm God, busy. Voice.
I know, you're so I'm busy playing with lobsters. So busy.
In this situation, I think my sisters had some valid points, but for the most part, they had a lot of invalid points, and I just didn't want to deal with them, so I just yesed them to death. You're absolutely right.
We call this ask you a question about a cake. I don't want to bust your balls, but if I have a question, I want it answered.
You're absolutely right.
We have to run the front with your help.
So you need to help us run the front so we can run it smoothly.
The hell?
What the hell?
I want a couple answers when I call.
I agree.
And I don't know what I gotta do first now because we're busy. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Shut up!
It's a friggin' chip. I shut up.
I want to know. What the hell? Not only does the show have some of the worst music, it has some of the most annoying people.
It's the hip hop bakery.
But do you see what the dude, the editor, was so bored with the footage, he decided, I'm gonna pep this up. I'm gonna turn the sisters into the chipmunks.
Let's tweak speed it up. He just, he couldn't take it any longer. He's like, let's just speed it up.
Oh, yeah. But you know what I notice is the guy, he said, you know, oh, the party's tonight. And he's like, I can't do it. But Buddy's like, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. And then his sister's, he's a total pushover. He lets everybody push him around. He's not the cake boss. He's a cake pussy, isn't he? But
he's not the boss.
No, he's not.
He's just the cake boss.
His mom's the boss, right?
Yeah.
Erotic, exotic, whatever you call them.
What?
He may be the cake boss, but he ain't the boss.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's talk about the Top Chef. And we'll talk about Cake Boss next week, where I'm unfortunately, Buddy, he dies.
Yeah.
Much like Robert. Same thing.
And then gay Tone has to take
Oh, yeah. Do you remember? It's like Tone, We got a tradition here at Carlo's Bakery. If it's your birthday, we ram a cake in your face. Hey! And he sends his sister.
And this cake just happens to be a penis. Oh!
Hey, Tone, this giant fella just rams it in his mouth.
It's filled with pastry cream.
Hey, you like this fondant, Tone? You homosexual? It's like, whoa. That's not right, guys.
Nothing wrong with a bit of cock every now and then, if you're into that.
What did I say?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Mama.
Exotic, erotic.
Erotic, exotic. The homosexuals and the cakes or whatever. So, Top Chef, Bill, they did the palate thing this week.
Yes.
What do you call it? Palate test? Palate? Whoever has the best palate.
Yeah, and that's just the blind taste test. Yeah.
These very accomplished chefs all were like, oh, shit. And I thought that was funny. And that
Well, you know what it is? Whenever they get cornered into a certain niche.
Right.
And, you know, and they're throwing these ingredients at them that they haven't tasted in years or maybe not at all.
Yeah, Rick Bayless said, I work with the same ingredients all the time. So he was worried because he hadn't tasted a lot of different things. And he didn't do too bad. But it was actually Michael Chiarello who did the best.
Chiarello.
Yeah, what I think is funny about him, Michael Chiarello, as I like to call him, he kind of jokes and stuff, but I think he likes to be a dick.
Yeah.
Or whatever, because they brought back a lot of old contestants of Top Chef to help the chefs do their little task, which was to make a buffet. And you know, you can interview each previous guest, like Spike from the previous show and Richard Blaze, who is very talented. But, you know, most of them were like, okay, tell me what kind of food you're comfortable with. Just remind me. But Michael Chiarello, he was like, I want you to dice up a carrot for me. He's like, I want you to cut it this way. What kind of ways did he say? I want you to dice it up, then do some diamond shapes or something.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact terminology, but...
And they were like, what?
He
was like putting them through like some kind of initiation or something.
Yeah, like it was boot camp, like
dice
kitchen boot camp.
Julian.
And they're like, a lot of us like own our own restaurants and stuff. I know Richard does. I know Spike has a burger joint. I know they all have jobs. They're not like in...
Yeah.
Culinary
they're
school.
Not waiting by the phone for
they did
Top Chef to call them.
Yeah, they did it for fun, but he's like I don't know, prove to me you can do this or whatever. And they were like, what a dick. So nobody wanted to work with them. They all wanted to work with the French guy. Remind me of his name again.
Hubert Keller,
who I think looks like, I mean, his food always looks awesome. Like, he just creates something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He just seems really talented. He seems like a really cool guy. But let's go ahead.
And he's always smiling and laughing. And
yeah, he was always just, like, yeah, he is really good at working with people. And I believe he works with Richard, too, doesn't he? And Richard's like,
yeah,
we can make an ice cream, but we can use this.
No, that's Rick Bayless.
Bayless. Okay.
He made it guacamole ice cream with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, he's like, the movie T2 when they froze the T-1000, I was like, we can make some ice cream with that stuff. And so they do. It's pretty cool. So anyway, wow. Wow, what am I even talking about?
And then whenever people eat it, they get to say, hasta la vista, baby. And then it shatters in their mouth.
Stop it, Rick. All right, let's check this out because Michael Chiarello is being a dick here. And Dale from, what is it, like two seasons ago?
Who was also a dick.
He had a hot head. He was a dick then. They butt
heads. So they sword fight. Dicks collide.
Whoa. Let's check this out.
Nothing wrong with a bit of cock every now and then.
Yeah, I guess. Alex,
good to see you. What's my name?
Michael Chiarello.
What's my name?
Michael.
What do you call me in the kitchen?
Chef.
Thank you. What's my name?
Michael.
No, what am I to you?
Chef.
Thank you.
My name is Michael Chiarello. The C-H in Italian is pronounced like K-E-Y.
What's my last name? Chiarello?
Cirello.
Chiarello.
Chiarello?
Anyone who, like, asks you what's my name should never get their name pronounced correctly.
What's my name?
Who is this guy? Why is he here?
What's your last name?
Blaze. B-L-A-I-S.
It's pretty insulting, quite honestly.
Who's coming next? Hey, what's going on with refrigerators here?
This is our refrigerator here.
That's our fridge right there.
That's what I called my fridge right before that.
By the time I get to my station, I look over, and Dale's got the fridge already full with all of their stuff. And I'm like, hey, Dale, what the hell?
So you want me to go in back? Is that what you're saying, young man?
Who are you barking at?
Is that what you're saying?
And we start throwing young man in the It's like, it's belittling, and I'm not here for that.
You don't even know me. So why are you getting up in my face about this?
You don't want to go this way with me.
What are you going to do about it?
Michael had a coming time. He was acting like a douche. Dale, got your back, bro.
What are you going to do about it?
Dale is definitely a hot-tempered person, and Chiarello's a very kind of hot-tempered person. I didn't know if it was going to hurt us.
For the first 20 years of my career, I ate three Dales for breakfast. He is way out of his league. But my
thoughts
are,
cannibal!
Martin, you idiot. Oh, don't let your macho Italian self get in the way here.
So what you want to do about it?
Chef out just for guys named Dale.
You know, he'd be like, hey, do you know who what's my name? Oh, Michael Chiarello. Yeah, you have the least watchable show on the Food Network. Yeah, I've seen
it.
His show
that
is easy
entertaining. He comes off as a douche.
Easy entertaining with Michael Chiarello. Oh. But it's Chiarello. I don't care what he says. Now, let's talk about the colony, Bill, because these people are living in a post-apocalyptic Los Angeles, and they're all very inventive. Even Walt, the handyman guy, he's incredibly inventive and handy to have around.
You mean Mike?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, that's what I meant. Where did I get Walt from?
What? I don't know, but it's awesome. Let's just call him Walt.
He is an asset to have around, except he's a cock knocker. He's a total asshole, and he doesn't know how to deal with people. He's cranky all the time. He drives me nuts. But I know that he's invaluable to have around. Like, he even figures out how to fix up the truck. The only thing is, you know he's going to figure out how to get the truck running, but he's going to bitch a lot while doing it. Like, I don't know what the... Nah. He's all crabby,
these
you know?
People can't help.
And the
damn crabby Appleton.
And I can understand why the women are get annoyed with him, because he kind of talks at them like they're stupid. And that's probably my major thing. Whenever somebody talks to me like I'm stupid, I just... Nothing matters anymore. I just want to kill you kind of a thing.
And, yeah, exactly.
And there's this... basically what happens here is these guys show up who want to trade goods with them. And they've got like a 50 cal machine gun on top of the truck. Now,
apparently they brought them over from Iraq.
Yeah, they're like these foreigner guys. They're like, I want to trade with you or whatever. Throw me the idol, I throw you the whip. But Mike and the ex-con who's there, who's way too dramatic, I think.
Yeah, he's very intense.
He's very intense. I would bitch slap him so fast because he was like, you people stay in here. Me and Mike are going to go off there. Nobody else. It's like, dude, shut the hell up. Calm down, you dumbass. And they like trade a jackhammer and something else for a generator and 5 gallons of gas. Great deal, I think.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and hear when the chick can't take any more of Mike yelling at him about oranges. He wants to give them all of the oranges for some kind of dry goods, right? Something like that.
Let's check. I think it was.
Let's hear a lot of yelling. Let's check it out.
The colonists trade canned food and other pantry items for chickens, cooking oil, and a box of toiletries.
Nice.
But the traders push for one more thing.
You have orange.
I have some oranges.
Show me orange.
We're going to give him all of these.
Don't do too much.
Yeah, we don't want to.
What the f***? It takes you so long.
Just pick the oranges up and carry them out. That's not all the oranges. Oranges are for free. Give them all the damn oranges and get what we really need. We can get more oranges.
What are we getting?
I don't care. We're going to trade. Show him a bunch of oranges and he'll give us
what we want. Keep going, keep going,
keep going. Not that much.
Let's keep moving.
Kids are they're oranges.
Now you go back there and get them.
Uh-oh.
Don't yell at me.
They're sitting there just pussyfooting around.
You
know what she said there.
Oh, yeah.
And all this stuff for what? For what?
Give them the
You're
damn
bartering
oranges.
Everything. Give them everything for what? Other perishable
oranges we can
You're
have.
You're really smart, Mike.
How many oranges
you
are we going to
so
flip and
smart.
Eat?
You're so smart. You're running, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Obviously, you seem to think that you are.
Well, maybe I am then.
Well, maybe you aren't.
Well, I'm the big dumb monkey, so stop
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Keep calling yourself that and remind yourself because you are.
You know, I was thinking that in a real situation, post-apocalyptic, 50 caliber machine gun, the other guys that got an AK-47, the other dude had a pistol, wouldn't they go, give us everything? Because all you have is pipes, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, man, if a truck filled with shit came into my area, and I would be thinking about ways to kill those three to take the truck and everything on it.
We gotta distract the guy on the 50 cal and take him out.
Hit him with the orange.
We gotta kill these guys and just take all this stuff for ourselves. Because, you know, in reality, the guys would be like, I'll take two of your women and I'll give you this generator or something like that, you know? But
take the angry bitch.
I think the show is incredibly interesting. I really enjoy watching it. And
it's good stuff.
The one week where they made that what is it called? Where they,
gasifier.
They burn wood inside a closed container where the gases come out. They feed directly into the generator their makeshift generator
into a pressure washer that they hook alternators up to. So they kind of turned it into a generator for the battery array they have.
Yeah, and that's charging their batteries. I thought that was so cool how inventive these people are.
And then he added that second alternator to it to charge it faster.
Right, right.
Yeah. I love when the guy made the shock rod and the flamethrower this week.
And you know what I was thinking to myself? I would love to see The Colony as a real dramatic like TV series.
Yeah.
And then word came out this week, Bill. You sent me the link and it blew my friggin' mind. I was like, holy shit, that Frank Darabont is adapting the Walking Dead comic book series for AMC. And that whole series is about people surviving in a world with zombies. It's not like a horror movie kind of setting. Yeah. It's people trying to survive day to day. So it's a very interesting idea. And they're turning into a series.
The title The Walking Dead has more to do with the people trying to survive than the zombies.
Right, exactly. And who better than Frank Darabont to handle that? I just think it's cool.
Yeah, I know.
Once I see something like
I was so blown away by that. Like, oh, wow.
Well, that's like when I see something like True Blood comes out and they can turn that into a successful series and it seems like each season is a book in the series. I'm thinking that, you know, the Dark Tower books, that could easily be a TV miniseries.
Oh, totally.
It seems like it would be easier to adapt it that way than a
bunch of movies.
Movie. You know what I mean? Think about that. Like, each season would be one of the books. That seems like it would be a lot easier to convey all that information. But when I watch The Colony, it's just I get really excited about, you know, the ideas of all this, like the danger of these guys, these
marauders,
these harriers, Now, another thing, Bill, is that they're building up like this truck and they want to turn it. We're going to put a flamethrower on it. We're going to put armor on it so they can get out of the city. They think it would be better out of the city. And I like the idea that this experiment has stages that they have to go through. And I thought it was cool how the dude, he's like a nerdy old guy, but he's really smart. And he built this flamethrower. It was like, and this poor other guy, he built like claymores that didn't seem to work that well, did they?
No, that was funny. He's like, I'm going to use flour and water and make a claymore. And he lights it and it just goes pop.
And they all just kind of laugh like, oh, you. But I really like the show. I can't wait to see more of it next week. But I'm sorry, guys, but I think it's time to talk about Entourage, right?
Do we have to?
Okay. Now, the first clip here, I got to say, I decided to play this clip. They go to a celebrity golf tournament, Steven.
Right.
And Ari is paired up with Jeffrey Tambor. And, you know, the main thing about the show is, like, F-bombs and stuff like that. How do we handle on the show? Now, Bill, you did this clip, and you handled it one way. And then the next clip with Tom Brady and Turtle, I handled a different way. So it's like we're doing what the guy did on Cake Boss, where we're trying to punch it up to make it more interesting. Because I got to say this much about Entourage. The more I think about it, just guys, think about this for a second. We watch Entourage because we're going through the motions. If this was the first season of any show, what we've seen so far, we would not watch the show, would we? We're only watching it because of the ghosts of the past seasons.
You're hoping
that are long
it
gone
would pop back or something.
Is Vinny in any way an interesting person at all? His character,
no.
What they give him to do? No.
No.
He gets laid every once in a while. And he has a waitress out. Okay, let's talk about Eric. Anything interesting going on there?
Started his own business. It failed.
The only thing that I think is interesting about that is how Sloan is pretty much manipulating his life where he can not be a loser, you know? Mm-hmm. She's giving him a job. She's giving him a house. You know, she's making him think that he's doing it himself when he's not really. And he calls her on it, but still at the same time, dude, hello?
Yeah.
And I can't even every scene with that little 12-year-old that he's pedophiling just drives me nuts. She's annoying.
Yeah, she's a terrible actress.
And they make it where her character says awful things. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, says, and he's like, what? And she's like, oh, never mind. She's like, she's always like very critical and tacky. But okay, Turtle dating Jamie Lynn Consiglier. And she's going to be on Drama Show next week. That should be hilarious.
Oh, yeah, because drama is not under my skin at all.
Okay, let's just talk about drama. He bets Mark Wahlberg on this.
$1,000 a hole.
Yeah, what was that entertaining at all in the least? Seriously.
Oh, yeah, I was riveted.
I thought
it was hilarious.
Other than the fact that you knew he was going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a build-up at all, you know.
Yeah, it was how bad is he going to lose?
And the whole Tom Brady thing
is
painful.
If they
would have
turned it the other way, that he
ends up kicking Mark Wahlberg's ass.
Well, he fakes him out like the first couple of holes.
Like he hustled him or something.
Yeah.
But no, none of that. Not even creative. But let's check out Entourage with Ari and Jeffrey Tambor because it's pretty funny. This part was funny, Bill. Didn't you think?
Yeah, it made me laugh. It was
because Jeffrey Tambor, he's gold.
Yeah, I like Jeffrey.
What are you doing?
Who are you to judge me, agent scum?
This is for charity.
This is for my kids who I'm trying to impress. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, good.
Dad, can we get the f*** out of here already? Yeah, Dad. It's so f***ing hot. It's so f***ing boring.
Hey. This is a family day. Now shut the f*** up and hit the ball.
I like the Tambor family.
Shut the f*** up, Lloyd.
Yeah, see, that was great. His little kids dropping F-bombs.
Now, I tried so hard to do your patented F-bomb technology on that, and it just didn't sound right.
Well, this clip I got offline where they did the thing where they just dropped the word out. It's so awkward. Here's the thing. Turtle wants to tell Tom Brady that he sucks balls, right? They drop the word balls. So I thought I would improve this clip and add my own words in. Let's check it out.
Awesome.
the obligation of every true blue Giants fan that if you see Tom Brady, you tell him he sucks
dick.
Turtle, do not tell Tom Brady that he sucks
dick.
And I just want to say something from the both of us. You,
Jamie, she's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, sweetest girl in the world. Do you know what?
Yeah, we met at this charity event a few years ago. Giselle loved her.
What's sad? He's a better actor than any of the guys on the show.
No, we should go out
sometime. Yeah.
Us? Are you and Giselle?
Yeah, just come over to the house. She cooks.
Giselle cooks? It's awesome.
Why don't you stop staring at the guy like you want a fucking turtle?
What?
Yeah. I got nothing more, guys. Can't even make that interesting.
That was really good.
Rick's cock. Steve, what are you talking about?
Nothing wrong with a bit of cock every now and then. If you're into that.
Yeah, if you're into that. So, yeah. Wow. Just, I mean, when Entourage is over, I really, literally am just shaking my head like, the guy's getting paid to write these episodes, whatever? Is it really believable that friggin' Ari's wife is so angry at him giving the guy, Gary Cole's character, advice that now he's breaking up? She wouldn't care.
Yes, absolutely. I totally believe that.
And then she's mad because he bought her a Maserati.
Yeah, that's not mommy's car, kids. Come on, let's go. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Totally believable.
Come on, come up with something. God, I'm waiting for somebody to get gunned down on the show. That might be interesting.
Oh, that would be awesome. Maybe like somebody that Turtle messed with, like one of the rappers in one of the early seasons come back.
Oh, yeah. Jamie Lynn's ex-husband is in the mafia or something. I don't know. Something like that.
When did they just kill them all.
Yeah. Car bomb.
They get in a plane crash going to make some film somewhere.
Yes.
Well, before we talk about the news, let's talk about True Blood. And how this is all... See, a lot of shit happens on this show. It's the opposite of Entourage.
Yeah.
Where nothing happens on Entourage. Here, they're like, oh shit, we gotta juggle this and this and this. And the stuff with Godrick I thought was really interesting. And the Sun people.
Yes, Godrick himself, not so interesting. Everything went on with him, interesting.
Right. Well, they kind of make it where... I don't know how you play a character like that. He's someone who's very knowledgeable. He's full of wisdom. He's been around a long time, and he's sick of... I think it's interesting how his character is sick of vampires. Like,
and the older you get, the less blood you need.
I think he's just sick of everything in general. The character just seems bored with everything.
Well, like he says, we've had time to evolve, and we haven't. In fact, we're even more violent than we used to be. And there's something about how... you know, now vampires are supposed to be civilized because of True Blood, where they don't hunt or whatever, but it's all a ruse.
Right.
They just, they still want to do that. You even see that Bill's old maker, what's her name again?
Lorena.
Lorena. Yeah. She, that poor Barry guy, she feeds off him. And she's like, that was one of the best parts is, she's like, who are you? What are you? You taste different. And then Bill smashes a freaking flat screen over her head. And I love that line later on where she's talking about, like, they're not as light as they say. You know, everyone talks about how light and thin they are, but I can tell you that
they're actually quite heavy.
Yeah. I mean, she had blood gushing out of her head. But I love the whole bit with Jason. His character is so interesting in that he's dumb as a bag of hammers, right? But they show that his heart is always in the right place, right?
What cracks me up with him, it happened twice. Your sister's a... My sister, what? Yeah.
As soon as he turns into a Hulk. Yeah, he's like helpless. Like that guy Gabe the week before, he's going to kill him. He's got a knife, he's going to gut him. And he's like, your damn
tramp sister.
Bang banger whore sister. He's like, what did you say? And then he beats the shit out of the guy. And he gets away because he insulted his sister. Like, if he had not said anything about his sister, would he just been killed?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
And even the chick, the Sarah Newland, you know, he's like conflicting feelings that she loves him or whatever. But then she's like, "Your whore sister." He's like, "What?" And then he like does the same thing. Whenever anyone says something, but I think it's cool. He goes back to save his sister. Like even though there's people with weapons and stuff, love the guy's like, "What do you got to?" That's a paintball gun. He's like, oh, thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Bash him across the face with it.
But
I can still pistol whip you with it.
Well, I think it's funny that guy, the Newland guy, Steve Newland, he has the showdown with the vampires, and Godric shows up and saves his ass. And he's like, how about we don't have violence? You know, we go our separate ways. And Steve's like, no! He's like, what? I'm like, what? I think his character's hilarious, how he's always got like a smile on his face, but he's insane.
Oh, yeah, he's... The guy plays it perfectly, like that televangelist. He's always fake. But then there's these moments like a few episodes ago when he was dragging Sookie down into the basement where he like just flips.
Yeah.
And he becomes like this ultimate evil.
And his wife's like, he said the C word. Well, let's go ahead and check this out. Basically, Jason shoots him in the head with a paintball gun and violence has subsided. And basically, Sookie wants to know what the hell Jason's doing there.
Sookie, come here. Ah, so sorry. Please forgive me.
What were you doing with those people? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, I was. Just, that some bitch is like he sucked out my brain and planted all his own babies in there.
You know nothing. On the final day of reckoning, we'll see who goes to heaven and who goes to hell.
Now, I reckon I've already been to heaven. It was inside your wife.
Oh!
That's great.
Jason, come on!
I'm not dead.
Come on.
Take your ring. Honesty my ass, shithead.
I love what, when they go back to the vampire's nest and Jason's just kind of standing there like, what the hell? Like, how did I get in this place?
Yeah, what did I get myself into?
And he goes, that weird scene with Bill where he's like, I was wrong about vampires and I just wanted to say that I shouldn't have judged you. My sister seems to love you. And then he gives him this awkward hug. Bill's just kind of like, yeah. And he's like, is that good for you? Jason,
you know, I love
hilarious.
True Blood, but can we please just, you know, get rid of the whole Marianne eggs and
well, that's what's funny. All this interesting stuff is going on at this church, and then it cuts over to that, and it's just kind of like
the whole scene with Marianne cooking the heart of the
that was grossing me out, man.
Woman, and then them eating it, and then all of a sudden, by eating a heart, they become lunatics and start punching each other, and it gives Eggs another reason to rip his shirt off. And
well, I
it's
thought
just
that
like,
was,
oh, come on.
Well, no, I thought that was interesting. I didn't know what was going on. I thought that was kind of creepy. But I want Marianne's storyline. I want to know what her goal is, what she's doing there. You know what I mean?
You know what? I don't even want to know her goal. I just want her dead.
What is Marianne's end game? And that's what, you know, they say that she's... Or Daphne, who's now dead, I believe that was her name, she said that she was immortal. But I'm wondering, is she really immortal?
No.
Because you got to kill her, right?
I mean...
Well, you know what? No one... Technically, nothing's immortal. There's always a...
There's a weakness to something.
Yeah.
But,
vampires, it's
but
wood,
that whole
silver.
Heart thing and cutting it up and putting in the food, there's just something so wrong feeding someone a heart.
But it didn't work for me because it was so red. And it's like blood, like when it oxidizes, it turns almost black, you know, and it should have been like, it looked like cherry jello, what they were eating. I was like, it's too red. It took me out of it.
Once it was in the souffle, I think there was probably like sauce and stuff in there. I don't think that was blood with it, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Because they said it was delicious. So I was like, well, maybe it is pretty good, huh?
Well, a Hunter souffle, I mean, you use everything. So it's,
shit,
you know,
man,
it's no different than, like, blood sausage. Whenever you use the blood with the, like, oats and stuff like that.
You know, one part I thought was funny was Andy came to the rescue of Sam, and he was saying, no, he's right. Here's what happened. And Sam was like, listen to what you're saying. Would you believe you? And he kind of thinks about
really.
It. He's like, oh, shit. He's like, I sound like a lunatic. I thought that was funny. So
Andy is quickly becoming, like, the underdog that you almost start to cheer for. Like, he's had so much shit thrown at him.
Yeah, he's
that it's like you start to feel bad for him and you want him to
figure
this out.
I've even thought this, guys, that he's going to have his moment where he's going to take Marianne down. I'm hoping.
I hope so.
I think that'd be great. You know what's
the only one? He's the only one kind of immune to her powers.
Yeah. I don't know why, but when Terry grabbed him and broke his arm, I was like, oh, that sounded painful. Just that crunch sound. He was like, oh, and he was like, you know, because they're in that weird trance or whatever. So let's go ahead and that's True Blood. Awesome. We'll talk more about it next week. Bill, you ready to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Whee! All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, in the news, a Illinois man faces 6 months in jail for yawning.
What?
Yes, drowsy spectators in one suburban Chicago courtroom might want to stifle their yawns from now on. Clifton Williams, 33, of Richton Park, is facing 6 months in jail for making what court documents call a yawn-like sound.
Sorry?
The yawn happened as Williams' cousin, Jason Mayfield, was being sentenced for a drug charge. Rozak found, or I should say, Judge Daniel Rozak found Williams in contempt of court and sentenced him to 6 months in jail. However, Rozak could free Williams after a status hearing Thursday, only if William apologizes and the judge accepts it. Williams will have served 21 days. This judge is an asshole.
I guess he thought the guy was being a smartass, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting or something like that. I guess I could see that. Judges,
well, everyone in the courtroom, like the witnesses and stuff like that, are saying that it was hardly a loud yawn. You know, they think that maybe the judge was just picking him out to, you know, pick on him.
Definitely.
Maybe he's racist.
He's setting an example.
Yeah. All right. A man was knifed in the ass following a fight over a car park space in Sydney.
Yikes.
Police say a 26-year-old man got into an argument with a woman over a spot at the Parramatta Shopping Center around 8 p.m. The man took the spot and went inside to do his shopping while the woman still outside called two friends on her mobile phone. Police allege two men soon arrived at the shopping center and went inside to find the 26-year-old, challenging him in the food court. Oh, yeah, fighting a food court. Police said the two men then assaulted the 26-year-old, stabbing him in the ass and bashing him.
Ouch! Yikes. Why in the
ass? The two men fled the shopping center on foot while the 26-year-old was treated by paramedics.
You get stabbed because it's
fleshy.
It's meaty.
Yeah, it's fleshy.
Yeah, definitely.
It just hurts to sit on the crapper.
Yikes.
He was taken to Westmead Hospital and was in stable condition. Oh. I thought maybe they hit an artery. He wasn't in stable condition.
Oh, you hit an ass artery.
An ass artery. Oh, I'm going to bleed out my ass.
Ow.
All right. Assault charges have been filed against a 48-year-old Dairy Queen woman, or Dairy Queen patron.
No.
Who allegedly chucked a too thick milkshake at a 16-year-old employee. Okay.
What a piece of shit.
The patron came through the drive-thru at the Sandy Dairy Queen, decided the shake was too thick, and went into the store and asked for a thinner one.
She wanted thick.
Yeah, I know. The same employee who made the original shake made a second, but the patron apparently was dissatisfied with that one, too. At that point, they just launched it at him, and it hit him in the chest and neck.
It was a friggin' blizzard. You hang it upside down. Their whole thing is, here you go, and they hand it to you upside down because it's so thick. This person's a moron.
This person wanted to drink it, and he couldn't, you know, but a shake is normally thick. In my mind, the best thing is the thick shake.
I want a thicker shake. I don't like them.
Yeah, because then as you hold it, the heat from your hands kind of melt it around the, you know, the
ends.
That's
especially good in Texas where it's hot as hell.
Was that Sandy, Utah?
Yeah, I'm guessing it is. I guess they're very angry in Utah.
Really?
The police quickly tracked down the person, admitted that they had overreacted and it was a dumb thing on their part, but the kid who got hit with the shake wanted to press charges, so they wrote up a citation.
Awesome. That is awesome. I would have done that too.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's got to be embarrassing.
It's
at
demeaning.
Your work
you have
to have a shake thrown at you because it's too thick.
The kid's probably getting paid minimum wage. It's like, no, yeah. I'm not going to have some asshole to.
Yeah, who wants to deal with this shit?
Yeah.
In Wetumpka. I don't know where the hell that is, but that's an awesome. Oh, Alabama. Wetumpka, Alabama. A 21-year-old man who told Montgomery police during a job interview that he possessed child pornography and had sex with an underage girl has been sentenced to 30 years in prison. Wait, did they, like, use a Jedi mind trick on him? He's there for a job interview and admits to this shit?
Whoa.
Circuit Judge Ben Fuller sentenced Max D. Hinton of Deetsville on Monday after his conviction of second-degree rape, sodomy, enticing a child for immoral purposes, and producing and possessing child pornography. The girl testified the two had consensual sex when she was 15 and he was 17, but a person younger than 16 in Alabama can't legally consent to have sex. The judge voiced outrage over the child pornography involving girls as young as 6. Oh, good God, man. It's one thing to have sex when you're 17 with a 15-year-old, but ugh. This guy obviously had a lot of guilt on his
mind. I was about to say, 17 and 15, that's not pornography at that point.
Yeah, but then to bring in the single-digit ages.
God.
All right, here's a weird story. There's no evidence of a tiger romping through a neighborhood near Hunt, or is it? Oh, okay. On Alabama last Sunday night, following a report by a Sherman Mills Road resident, an investigation ensued after a woman notified Kerr County Sheriff's Office that she had spotted a tiger in her front yard just after 11 p.m. It's a tiger in my yard in the dark. I can see it. That's a lion. Sheriff's Department personnel and Kerr County Animal Control Director Jane Witt responded to the scene and scoured the area for any sign of a big cat until about 2 a.m. They later returned Monday to look again, and they have found no signs whatsoever of anything being out there. But anything is possible. Wow. I would have to say that if they can't find the tiger, it's probably not there.
It's imaginary.
There's an imaginary tiger in my front yard. This is interesting. A Greenwich, Connecticut man apparently felt guilty about practicing personal hygiene in a neighbor's home after he had broken into it. Manuel Gonzalez, 18, broke into a Locust Street home Wednesday while the owner was away, cut his pubic hair, and left the trimmings. Remorseful about his actions, the man later confessed to the woman, who then called police. Police charged Gonzalez Thursday night with first-degree burglary. He was reached on $2,000 surety bond.
Why was he compelled to do this while he was robbing a house?
I know, exactly. I'm going to
steal
this.
Hey, I don't have any. Hey, trimmers!
Trimmers! Maybe the trimmers were just really nice.
What a piece of shit.
29-year-old Kasai City, Japan man who doused himself with kerosene, torched his house, yet escaped without injuries, told police he wanted to kill himself because his mother tossed his valuable Gundam plastic models.
Oh, no.
I thought I was calling bad Chinese.
Japanese.
But hey, same thing, I guess. Yeah, right? The resulting fire eventually burned down the two-story home. And what is it? Which was 2,700 square feet and partially made from wood.
Those Gundam models are hard to come by.
Oh, I know, man. Those are very expensive. What a weirdo. Oh, I'm gonna. Yeah, it almost sounds like a typical teenage temper tantrum. Like, I'm gonna kill myself. You throw out my Gundam models.
Isn't that a great story?
Oh, man. All right, what else we got here? Last story. Well, maybe second to last story. A former Texas state employee responsible for some of Texas's most vulnerable people was convicted Thursday of injuring them during an orchestrated fight at a state facility for the developmentally disabled.
Oh.
Great.
Awesome.
Jesse Salazar, 25, was one of six former employees at the Corpus Christi State School charged in connection with an abuse scandal that police described as a fight club.
Holy shit.
So he set up retard fights.
And this guy's name is Jesse?
Yes.
I'll be a sports entertainer, no worries. Ah,
I knew it.
He was practicing on the
retarded people.
On the retarded.
That's not right.
For more than a year, authorities said staff on the night shift in one of the Corpus Christi facilities staged fights among the residents. They instigated the bouts with direct commands and pranks aimed at spurring the residents to turn on each other.
What?
No.
Hey, he stole your pillow. What?
I kicked his ass.
He ate your pudding.
Dude, son of a bitch. He called you an asshole. You need to go set him straight.
What's an asshole?
No, Quirky, stop.
Quirky?
Almost 20 videos of the fights were discovered in March when a cell phone containing the images was found at a clothing store and turned into police.
This guy, he taped it on his phone and he leaves it at a store. And then someone's like, oh, I wonder whose this is. Let me try to find. Oh, look at this video.
Oh, my gosh. It's retard fight. Awesome.
Stupid cows.
Yay. So the guy, I guess he says he feels dumb. He's sorry for what took place and it shouldn't have happened. Well, I guess hindsight's 20/20.
Wow.
All right, Marietta, Georgia, a 14-year-old who crashed his parents' SUV into a gas station Thursday, was taking the car to get Skittles. The Cobb County Police spokesman, Sergeant Dana Pierce, says the unidentified boy told authorities he planned to buy the fruit-flavored candy when he got to the Sunoco. Instead, Pierce says the boy lost control of the car and it crashed into the Sunoco, penetrating the building quite a bit. Cobb County Fire spokeswoman Danielle Boyd says two people inside the building were unharmed. Pierce says the boy faces juvenile charges of theft by conversion and driving without a license. Say the boy's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is believed to be a factor in the incident.
Whoa.
Awesome. I want Skittles!
Really?
I want to take the car!
Skittles are delicious.
They're addictive.
Yeah, they
I
make
believe.
People steal cars and crash them into gas.
My stores. Ass, shithead!
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
Oh,
sorry about that.
It's okay. Yeah, I can take a punch quite well.
What do you say we do some DVDs?
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. DVDs! 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 HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition!
Oh, all right, Bill.
Oh, we all
what
walk
the, hell?
The wibberly wobberly walk.
What do we got? The DVDs this week.
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, August 18th, 2009, starting off with The Five Deadly Venoms. This is being released by the that Dragon Dynasty. They release all these great classic Shaw Brother films. And the Five Deadly Venoms is probably the most famous for having the Kung Fu guys, each with their unique styles. I think the five are...
So it's like what influenced like Kung Fu Panda? Master.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. There's the toad, the lizard, the snake, the scorpion, and the centipede, I believe. And it's great, great film. One of my all-time favorite Kung Fu films.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. It's definitely awesome.
Sweet.
Moving on. The Beast, Season 1, with Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I watched, like, the first, I'm going to say the first two episodes, just because Patrick's dying and I wanted to support him. But I lost interest in it really fast.
I wasn't particularly impressed by it.
It's just sadly. Like, it's just, you know, the show looked good and stuff. It was just, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's meh. Oh! All right, next on DVD and Blu-ray, Dexter, the third season.
Really?
Yes.
Sweet. I love Dexter. I can't wait till it comes back.
Yeah, it should be back here in a month or two, right?
Yeah, I love the promos for it where he has the baby. It's hilarious. I'm wondering how they're going to do that.
It should be entertaining.
And no Jimmy Smith this season. Damn.
No. I'm glad he's dead. Or oops. Oh, oops. Sorry if anybody hasn't seen it.
No, he just dies in spirit. What he means is he dies inside. He's like
a shell of a man.
Emotionally
dead.
Right. Much like Bail Organa was in the prequels.
Oh.
All right. Next on DVD, The Final Destination Collection, to capitalize on
yikes.
The last film.
Yeah, have you seen the commercials for the new one?
Yeah.
Final Destination 3D. Shit flying into people when they don't notice. It's supposed to be like the whole movie is based on cheap shock of, oh, like somebody gets beheaded suddenly.
It's a horror version of a Rube Goldberg device.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they cheated death, and now death
is going to
collect their souls, but he's going to do it in a very clever way where he sets up,
head caught in the sunroof and your head gets chopped off by the
The egg rolls, it falls on the little thing, it pulls it down, a bucket pours water on a flower, the flower grows, pops a balloon, something like that. It's pretty awesome.
I can't believe that there's now four of those films.
Hey, Bill, I can hear you breathing on the mic like a boom.
I'm sorry. I have the mic.
No problem. I mean, it sounds fine, but suddenly you'll boom into it with your breath. No
okay, sorry. I moved it up a little bit.
You're Stevening into the microphone.
Yeah, I'm Stevening. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Normally I have it like just above my nose, but for some reason it was down by my chin.
No problem.
Right. This one's for Steven. Ghost Adventures, Season 1.
I made that up.
Ooh.
I know how he loves his ghost shows.
Steven, you do, don't you? That sounds scary.
That's the one with the kids, though, isn't it?
No, that's...
That's a psychic...
Paranoia State or something? Or...
No. Paranormal State's not kids. Those are college kids.
No, there's a one called, like... I know what you're talking about. Paranormal Children?
Yeah, Paranormal State, yeah.
Or no, Paranormal State
is the one.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you that's what that one is. What I'm saying is the one with the kids is called Ghost Kids. That's what it
is. Yeah, now I watch Ghost Hunters.
It's not called Ghost Kids. I just made that up. But you know what I'm talking about.
That sounds awesome.
I just can't believe you too.
No, psychic children, I think. They're not ghost kids. They're psychic kids.
Yeah.
But when I see that, I'm disgusted by it because someone is humoring these children, telling them they have powers or something.
Yeah.
It's really the same guy that does... It's this kind of effeminate
guy.
Is
it that gay guy?
I'm not going to say... I don't know if he is or not.
It's that big homo.
Yeah, but he's on Paranormal State.
Every now and then.
Yeah, okay, I know that guy.
Yeah.
But it just, it, yeah, no, there's something wrong with that show, you know what I mean?
I don't mind adults doing it, but yeah.
But yeah, I don't exploit kids.
Yeah, when you exploit children and try to convince them.
You've got powers, little Joey. I got powers.
You're sensitive to the ghosts.
Yeah, give me a break.
Carol Ann!
Ah, yeah, boy! Okay. It sounds like at first he's being murdered or something.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, are you okay? Oh, he's having a heart attack.
Ah, yeah, boy! So he's like excited that he has chest pain. Oh, yeah!
This getting awesome!
I'm gonna die! Woo! Oh, my God. Scary.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray, The Last House on the Left, unrated edition.
Oh,
the
Jesus.
Remake.
Wow. Oh! What the hell, man? Why did they remake this movie?
Because they needed to be.
I know I mentioned this on the show before, but I'll never forget Heather. Like, I walk in, it's like, why haven't you come to bed yet? What are you watching? She's like, oh, I'm watching this scary movie here. Well, what are you watching? Last House on the Left. It's on MGM HD. You shouldn't be watching that.
Yeah, I know.
Don't watch that. I'm going to bed. And the next day, she's like, I shouldn't have watched that movie. Wow. But
that movie's screwed up, man.
But I'll never forget. She was like, Jason, come here. You're not going to believe this. I was like, what? What? Holy shit. What's going on? I come in here. They remade The Last House on the Left. I was like, what? She's like, I thought somebody died or something. But I think it's interesting that it's got, you know, Garrett Dillahunt in it, who I always think is good. But
yeah, he always plays a good.
He's a good sleazebag.
Yeah.
But is this on Blu-ray?
Yes, it is. DVD and Blu-ray.
Especially in Blu-ray.
Oh, thanks, Drew. Yeah.
Really?
Also on DVD and Blu-ray, the 25th anniversary edition of The Last Starfighter.
Whoa, yeah!
There you go.
Ah, yeah, boy!
Something tells me they'll probably be rehashing some of the extras from the release a few years ago and the HD DVD.
Yeah, I have the HD DVD, and I got to say this, Bill. Last week, Big Trouble in Little China came out on Blu-ray, and that I am excited about. Awesome.
Yeah, I need to look for some reviews on it because I don't trust
some
Fox.
I read some 4 out of 5 star reviews of the picture and sound quality, so that sounds badass.
That is. I'm going to have to pick up that in 17 again.
I love Big Trouble. What did you just say? It's like, spit. But I was going to say, Bill, that I love Big Trouble in Little China.
I thought I was feeling bad Chinese.
Now stop it, Al Roker.
What else came out, I think, last week was Cutthroat Island on Blu-ray.
Oh.
So if you want to see the movie that killed
Rennie Harlan's,
Ralco,
Gina Davis, Davis, Matthew Modine's career.
Yeah.
It just everybody had to do with the movie. It just friggin' killed their careers.
Yeah, it also kind of killed
tuna.
The pirate movie for a long time.
And you know what? I bet it looks gorgeous in HD.
I bet it does, too. I mean, it wasn't a bad-looking film. It was just a bad film.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a Stephen Sommers film. It's a lot of stupid-ass fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot
watchable.
Of racket. Your head will hurt when it's over, but still, check it out.
All right, if you don't watch the Travel or Discovery Channel that often, why not pick up Man vs. Wild Season 3 with Bear Grylls?
Oh, my God.
This guy's crazy.
With Bear Grylls?
Yeah, that's his name, Bear Grylls.
What kind of name is that?
Freaking awesome. Yeah, no shit, Mr. Lion.
That's a scary bear sound.
Yeah, that's a bear sound. That could be any sound for any animal that roars, right?
Whoa, Steven.
That was
bear.
That was a panther. Next on DVD, Sons of Anarchy, Season 1, DVD and Blu-ray.
Awesome!
Oh.
I fell in love with the show. I love it. It's one of the funniest shows. I mean, it's like really violent and just wrong, but I laugh my ass off every episode. It's really good.
I'm going to rent the Blu-ray and get back into it. And to go along with that, you can go to the SOA site and try to win a motorcycle.
Awesome.
Oh, really?
I keep seeing little clips for the new season.
Yeah, they're going to give it away on their first episode, I think.
Really? Like in a drawing or something?
I don't know.
But I'm going to tell you, this show is so much fun, and it's so ridiculously, it's just so violent. There was an episode where a guy who was kicked out of the Sons of Anarchy, you're supposed to remove the tat when you get kicked out or black it out. You get it blacked out. Well, the guy did it, and they caught him.
Oh, no.
They gave him a knife. They go, you can cut it off. We cut off your back, or you can burn it off. And he thought about it, and he's like, burn it. So they dump, or I think they dump liquor all over his back, set his back on fire. And they're like, I think he's cooked enough to drop him off in the emergency room. And I was just like, holy shit. It's awesome, man. Check it out.
That sucks.
It's awesome.
No, it sucks.
Oh.
All right. Last DVD.
No.
Yes. Tyson, a James Toback film on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I was really hoping for good things with this, but I heard that it's kind of like not that, just kind of meh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had really wanted to see it.
I do too, because Mike Tyson is just a train wreck, and it's fascinating what a train wreck is. Did you guys ever hear of that clip where he's talking about, I'm going to eat your children? I love that.
No, I think the craziest one I ever heard was, it was at a press conference, and he told a woman that he'd F her till she loved him. And I was like, whoa, dude, seriously?
Shit. Wow.
Exactly, Rick. Just come on.
That's some hardcore stuff.
Oh. But I'll definitely check that out. I want to see it.
Yeah, that's going on my Netflix queue. And that's the last DVD of the week.
Really?
All right, Bill. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Hey, we were getting back into our groove just like Stella. It's really nice. We're getting back into the show. And
make sure Rick got his assignment.
Right.
Yes.
Robot jocks.
Robot jocks.
With your wife.
Whoa.
With some beers.
Biz. All right.
And maybe his brother, who's an excellent musician.
And if he doesn't want to, force him to, Rick. You are going to watch this.
Tie them down.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
My ass, shithead.
Whoa.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And...
That was just rude.
And we all talk the wibberly wobberly talk.
Yes. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And I want to thank everyone for all their birthday wishes this week. Thank everyone.
Yes, Stephen, happy birthday. I don't think I gave you one. I'm a shitty friend.
Bill did. Thanks, Bill.
No problem.
And
happy birthday, Stephen.
And a bunch of you people on the Facebook. Thanks, everyone.
Do you mind?
On that there face of books.
Do you mind saying how old you are, Stephen? How young you are, Stephen? Or you don't want to? Okay.
No, I don't mind.
Just skip that.
I'm 41.
Oh.
No, I think you're 31, right? No.
That's fine, Steven. We're men.
Mick,
we don't care how old we are.
Mick,
right?
Wrote a really funny thing, you know, about joining me in the old folks' home.
Where the people...
I told him I want the rocker next to the window.
They try to get you to fight each other. And then
yeah, really.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday,
Steven. But
again,
thanks everyone for the birthday wishes.
Hey, tomorrow I'll take you to District 9 for your birthday. How's that?
Thanks.
We're going to go anyway,
and
but
then
hey.
You can fall asleep.
No, it's an exciting movie, right, Bill?
It is.
Will
it keep very good.
Steven awake?
Oh, definitely.
Sleep,
there's a lot of cool guns and explosions and
sweet.
Awesome.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to episode 173 of Nowhere in the Mulberry. The Nowhere in the Mulberry, I think. That's going to be my first book, guys. The Nowhere in the Mulberry.
The Nowhere in the Mulberry?
Yeah.
That works.
Book one.
District Mulberry?
Series.
District Mulberry?
But is it going to be a... Is it? Yeah, is there going to be a subtitle to the series?
Yes. The... I'll keep working on that. I'll have it next week. Okay. But if you would like to send a voicemail like Rick and Adam, call 1-206-202-3491. Or you could send the MP3 file to nimpodcast@gmail.com, where you could also send a regular email and tell us how things are going. Also, look us up on Facebook. You will find it linked on nowhereinmulberry.com, where you will also find a link to Mulberry Old School, which, you know, was acting funky for a while, Bill. What was that, like 3 weeks ago? GCast was messing up. I got an email today, 3 weeks, and said, hey, I think it's all fixed now. Shoot me an email and tell me if it's working. I was like, oh, so 3 weeks from now you can tell me? Oh, okay. But I did test it, and it should be all back up to normal now. I don't know what was going on, but it's all... awesome now.
They got hacked.
Good.
Really?
Yes. Turtle.
Yeah, it was Zero Cool and Serial Killer.
Awesome. So, everybody, thank you for that. And I hope, you know, we got a lot of response, Bill. We got to mention this. We did get quite a bit on Facebook and our forum feedback from the Drawing of the Three show. It's nice to know how many people are reading it along with us.
Yeah, that was very you know, kind of surprised by that.
I think it's Kaw. It's Kaw, Bill.
It is. It's Kaw for our quartet.
Yeah, I almost think everyone in the book club, it's our quartet, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's awesome. And Steven, you're listening to the audiobooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steven?
I'm trying to read. I'm going to get caught up.
Wow. Yeah, Steven will finish The Gunslinger whenever we do the last show.
But, Steven, you know what a good point is? They're timeless shows. You can listen to them when you're done.
Yeah,
but I want you to participate.
I will get caught up. I promise.
You know what?
Steven sees our book shows as the day off.
Oh, I'm off that day. Woo! Yep,
all right, get some rest.
Oh, they're turning on you, Steven. But everybody, we'll be back next week. Have a good weekend and all that kind of stuff. And stuff like that. And next week, you know, we'll tell you what we thought of the movie, The District of the Nine. And, hey, what comes out next week? Does the new Tarantino flick come out next week? Or?
Yes, it does. Next week, yes, it does.
I'm curious about that.
I am. I'm very curious. I hear it's a very interesting and fun revisionist piece of World War II.
Sounds awesome. I know he's got a sick sense of humor, and I love that. So, yeah.
I just hate the one commercial they keep repeating, Nazis. But,
you know, that speech, it's like the main...
But it's better they do that than show us new things every time where they
exactly.
just
Exactly. I want to go into the movie and enjoy it, not go, I remember that from the commercial.
It's like District 9, I don't want to see it because I know it's cool, but the guy fires the missile and the hand grabs it or whatever. Okay, I know. Just stop. I want to watch the movie. Don't show me any more cool stuff, basically. So on that note, see you next week. Woohoo!
I think my eardrums just exploded.
Hey. I was in a good mood till that.
Sports entertainer, no worries.
Let's beat the shit out of him.
Oh, what just happened?